All right.
Nick!
Gentlemen!
Nick's your buddy. Kind of guy you can drink a beer with.
Start your engine!
Now some of you would live through me and lock me up and throw away the key, or just find a place to hide away and hope that I'll just go away, huh. But I feel alright, I feel alright tonight, I feel alright. I feel alright tonight. And I bring you Christmas contraband and ancient tales.
Right, all right, all right. Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. We are here until 5 a.m. It's Friday. That means all the regular Friday features will be coming up later on. We've got You Big Dummy. That's where we read real news stories of real dumb people doing real dumb stuff, and then we vote on who's the biggest dummy. And Tom votes, I vote, and then you, first person calls at 312-981-7200, gets to be our third vote. We've got Straight Out of Context. That's when you listen to this station 24-7. And whenever anybody at any time says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds a little dirty and it makes you giggle, you jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. Same goes with Nick D. Show Spies. That's when you listen to this station 24-7. And whenever we, whenever somebody mentions me, we want to know about it. You're a spy. Jot down the day, the time, who said it. Again, send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. Fly Jams Friday. DJ Luscious Hushus is going to be here to spin the Fly Jams for you. So that's all of our regular features. It is Epilepsy Awareness Month. I'm not sure people might not know that, so we want to call attention to it. So we're going to have Dr. Stefan Schul from Northwestern Medicine to talk about it and about the facts and the misconceptions about epilepsy and how it's being treated as part of Epilepsy Awareness Month. That'll be after the 3 o'clock news. And coming up in just a couple of minutes from the PPG Paints Green Room, Jim Ryan. Our good buddy Jim Ryan, he'll be here. We're going to talk about music and concerts and interviews and stuff that he's done. Always fun when Jim's here. And we'll play a round of Rock of Ages. See a little music trivia coming up. And there you go. So that's all coming up here. We are going to talk about the worst menu items on every place you can go to, at restaurants and fast food places. That's coming up. So all of that and more. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. For talk and text, Fly Jam requests for later on, 312-981-7200. You can also follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show and stay connected with us on Facebook at facebook.com/Nick D Show. And subscribe to our podcast. Every second of every show is podcast. You can subscribe. Go to iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. Subscribe. It's free. Then it will automatically be sent to your device, and you can listen at your leisure, bro. So there it is. That's what's coming up on the show this Friday morning. Let me say hello to my producer, Tom Hush. Tom, how are you?
Hey, Nick. I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm all right. We got plans for the weekend?
Nothing too big. It's actually my brother's birthday today.
Oh.
Yeah, he turns, oh, God. let me think here. Yeah, 22.
Ah.
Yeah.
Well, how many birthdays do you have in November?
So it's me and my brother.
Oh, just you and
your
brother.
Yeah, we're November birthdays, and then my youngest brother is, he's an August guy.
Ah,
yeah.
Okay.
A little end of summer birthday.
My ex-wife's birthday today.
Really?
Yeah. My second ex-wife.
Very nice.
So, well, all right. You got your brother's birthday, and that's going to be fun.
Yeah, we're going to have a little bit of breakfast later this morning.
Ah.
So I'll be staying awake for that.
Okay.
So we'll get to hang out, and he'll get to see how tired I look.
Oh, okay. All right. And in the newsroom, we got Vic Vaughn. Hi, Vic.
Morning, sir.
How are you, buddy?
Doing well.
You got plans for the weekend?
I have. They're taking form now. I know I have two of my kids. I'm not sure about the third one. Trying to get her on board.
Oh.
So,
All right.
And we'll be alone because Jeannie's going to Wisconsin again. So we'll have some more fun.
Have some alone time there with the kids.
Yeah.
That's cool. And, of course, you know, the Bears game is on Sunday.
Yeah. What time is that? I need to check. Four.
Is it a three?
Must be the three game. Let's see here. No.
No?
It's the Sunday night game.
Oh, it's a Sunday night. That's right. It's a Sunday night game. That's right.
So I'll have to push record on that one.
Yeah, that's right. So that means we'll, if they lose...
No. That's not going to happen.
No, I know, but I'm saying that Tom and I will be in the same building on the same floor with Hamp and OB.
Oh, right.
When they go nuts and start throwing stuff.
Oh, man. I feel bad that I kind of hope they lose. Yeah. Just to see. I love the volcanic reaction. I don't want them to lose, but... Yeah. You know.
It is a treat. If you do have to endure a loss, it is a treat to listen to them afterwards.
Oh, yeah. No, they're fantastic. Win or lose, it's great radio. But especially when they go nuts and when they lose and they just go nuts. Like, OB is out of his mind. It's fantastic. Fantastic. Two Hawks games this weekend, too.
I love it.
Yeah. Saturday and Sunday. So there we go. All right. Well, that's what's happening here. And we've got I'm interested in some of the movies that are opening this weekend.
Yeah. I'll be going to see Marriage Story
for
the 35mm engagement.
I can't wait to see that movie.
I'm excited.
Yeah. I mean, the buzz is great. Eric, you know, reviewed it. Eric said it's on the same level as Shoot the Moon in terms of movies about marriage and divorce. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen Shoot the Moon?
Yeah, I finally got the chance to see it.
It's unbelievable.
You've been telling me about it for a long time, and I finally watched it because he said it was on that level. I was like, well, I better prep.
It's unbelievable. Shoot the Moon. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. It's a devastating movie.
Absolutely.
And Albert Finney and Diane Keaton are so good in it. So, and yeah. So Dana Hill, too. She's amazing in it. But, so that's coming out, and then Ford versus Ferrari,
which I think will just be a good old time.
You know, I hope it's good. I like both of the actors very much. Mm-hmm. Christian Bale looks like he's a nut in it, and I always like it when Christian Bale is nuts. So, so that's coming out, and then Charlie's Angels, which the only reason I want to see it is because of Kristen Stewart. That's the only reason I want to see it because I think I love her. I just love her. And so that's the. It looks like it's going to be terrible.
Sure,
but I like her.
Were you a fan of the Cameron Diaz ones?
No.
Yeah, those were.
No.
I did like that. What was his name? George from Back to the Future was in it.
Crispin Glover.
Crispin Glover. Yeah.
George from Back to the Future. I'm sure he's thrilled that you'd refer to him as that.
Oh,
considering
come on.
The lawsuit and everything.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But did make up. He and Zemeckis did make up because he's in Beowulf.
That's true.
And you know, does great work in that. But yeah, no, Crispin Glover's a really he's a strange guy, but you know, I've interviewed him a few times. He's very cool. He's a nice guy, very, very, very nice guy. But he's a little strange. As
sure.
I think everybody knows that. Mm-hmm. But my ex-wife, whose birthday it is today, obsessed with him. Obsessed with him.
Well, you've told me about some of the movies that he's made that are not so
the films
popular.
That he's made?
Yeah.
You mean as a director?
Or no, like films that he's been in that are really strange.
Yeah, well, he's been in a lot of strange movies, and he makes really weird movies.
Yeah, I've never seen anything that he's actually made.
Oh man,
I'm guessing that's not at the local Redbox.
No. You know, he came to town with his movies, and obviously they play them at the Music Box, and then he would do book signings afterwards, and that's how I got my ex-wife to meet him and get a picture with him, and she couldn't be happier. She's got his books and stuff. Yeah. He's an interesting dude. Interesting guy. So, anyway. All right, listen, why don't we take a break here? And when we come back, fresh from the PPG Paints green room, Jim Ryan will be here. And we got a lot of music and a lot of other fun stuff to talk about with Jim. We'll play a round of Rock of Ages, too. So that is coming up after we take a break right here on WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, here until 5. It's Friday. That means all the regular features will be happening. Fly Jams Friday, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show, Spies, and You Big Dummy, all coming up. We are going to visit with Dr. Stefan Schul from Northwestern Medicine, and he's going to talk with us about epilepsy. It's Epilepsy Awareness Month. That's coming up later as well. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text. You can follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show and stay connected on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Nick D Show. Okay, it's time to welcome my guest here in studio. He joins us usually about once a month or so, and his name is Jim Ryan. Jim, how are you?
I'm good, Nick. How are you?
I'm okay. And you write about music and
I do.
Entertainment and stuff for Forbes and where else?
Some for Chicago Now, a lot for the Daily Herald.
Yeah.
All of it's on Twitter, at Radio Jim Ryan.
At Radio Jim Ryan. There you go. So you, you've been busy.
I have, as always.
Yeah, always. Always a lot to talk about. We just heard Green Onions.
Yes.
Which, of course, is a great song. But you're fresh from seeing Booker T.
Yeah, 2 hours ago.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
Yeah. So where was he, at City Winery?
Yeah, he was at City Winery. He's got a book and an album out.
Okay.
He turned 75 yesterday and killed it. Did like a... I figured I'd be out of there by like 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Go get some sleep, come in. He, with no opener, went until 11 o'clock.
Oh, my God.
He read from the book. It had to be over 2 hours.
That's amazing.
Yeah, he did Booker T and the MG stuff. He did a bunch of covers. And then he did some of the songs that he's had a hand in the writing process on. So he did Born Under a Bad Sign by Albert King. He covered Prince, him and his son. His son is his guitar player,
mm-hmm.
and his son is fantastic. But Booker plays guitar as well. The two of them did a version of Purple Rain.
That's unbelievable.
It was so good.
That's amazing.
Just the two of them on electric guitar and Booker T singing.
So how big is his band?
Three-piece backing band.
That's it?
Yeah. So he just pretty much just like Booker T and the MGs. It's his son on guitar, and then he's got a phenomenal rhythm section. And I'd be shocked if anyone in that band is over 25.
Yeah. It's him.
Which is so rare. Yeah, it's just him.
Yeah. Well, have you got the book?
I have it sitting right here, actually.
Oh, yeah, you got it. Okay. And so you've not read it yet? No.
But I did speak to him.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I shouldn't admit that I haven't read the book yet, but that'll be running, I think, tomorrow, maybe Monday.
Okay.
And, took some photos today. I had a photographer there to take some photos tonight, so... Do it upright.
That's great, man.
Yeah, he was fantastic on the phone too. His stories are just ridiculous. The book doesn't run chronologically, and then the album kind of acts as a companion piece, so the two kind of work in tandem to tell his story. All the chapters in the book are song titles,
mm-hmm.
and then those songs are on this new album, and it's him and his son, and I think there's some contemporary takes on some of the classic songs.
Yeah.
And then he said he's working on a whole new studio album with his son, who is a phenomenal blues guitar player.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really cool.
Uh-huh.
What's his son's name?
I've got to look it up.
Oh, okay. but he plays the guitar in the band.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, wow, was a big crowd?
It was full.
Yeah.
Yeah, full room tonight at City Winery. So it was fantastic. He tells these stories, obviously, about coming up as a member of the Stax band,
sure.
in Memphis, who would play on all these legendary recordings. And then alongside, you know, Steve Cropper and Duck Dunn, he's telling these stories about Booker T and the MGs. He's telling stories about moving to California and working with Steven Stills and kind of getting involved a little bit in the Laurel Canyon scene. I've seen it before, and he's told a story about how he wound up playing bass on a couple of Bob Dylan songs.
Wow.
I mean, his stories are just, because the amount of people that he's worked with is just mind-boggling.
Yeah, I saw them on the tour with Neil Young.
Okay.
Which was great.
Where was that at?
Not Poplar World, whatever it's called now. I don't know what it's called.
Hollywood Casino Amphitheater.
Okay, that was at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater.
Tweeter Center.
The Tweeter Center, the World, whatever.
The New World.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's where it was, and it was fantastic. It was him and Neil Young. He did a whole tour with him, and it was great. We were just talking about Neil Young earlier.
Oh, that's what Tom was telling me, yeah.
Because it was his birthday.
Uh-huh.
He turned 74, so he's a year younger than Booker T.
He's a year younger than Booker T, and then he actually... Booker T did an album, I think he said tonight, in 2010. He did an album called Potato Hole, where he was backed by the Drive-By Truckers. And Neil Young plays on like five songs on it, but he said there was one track. It was Patterson Hood on guitar, Mike Cooley from Drive-By Truckers on guitar, Booker T on guitar, Neil Young on guitar, and I think it was his son. There were five total guitar players.
Five guitars on one song.
Teddy Jones, by the way, is his son.
His son is Teddy Jones. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And he is the so good show tonight, and he read from the, what were some of the things he read from the book?
He read the prologue, so he kind of told the story of leaving Memphis and getting to California, and then his wife led a Q&A with the crowd, so people were asking him questions about Stephen Stills, people were asking him, you know, anything you could think of.
That's really
cool. Yeah, it was pretty amazing. Like, I got to say, especially, I mean, at 75, to just go 3 hours?
Yeah. No, that's great.
With barely stopping.
Is he doing a full-on tour, or is this part of a big...
Yeah, this is part of a full-on tour. So
obviously... combination music and book tour,
right?
And they have a like a kiosk set up with the books?
Yeah, he hung out afterward. And
oh, and he signed books and stuff?
Took pictures with anybody who wanted something. The guy in front of me had walked in. I would love to know if he actually brought this to the table at City Winery, or if he just walked in off the street with this. But he had basically his entire vinyl collection. He sat there and unloads his bag onto the counter with like 10 records he wants signed by Booker T. I don't even know if he bought anything. He had a guitar. He had this old man in a flannel shirt. Then he asked like six different people to take a photo for him. It was like...
did Booker T sign all this stuff?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, that kind of reminds me of when I met John Carpenter.
Okay.
I brought everything from my house.
You were that guy.
I was totally that guy. And at one point, like, he was personalizing it to Nick, you know,
right,
Bass, John Carpenter, but then he just started to sign his name, like his initials.
Then I
just kept coming with stuff. It was posters and movies and DVDs and stuff, and he's like, oh. So I was like, you're my favorite director, man.
Somebody in line was telling me today that Alice Cooper apparently has two different signatures. One, when he recognizes that it's a professional who's going to throw something on eBay.
Oh,
and
yeah.
One, when he recognizes it's an actual fan who's going to go hang this in his, you know, home.
Do we know the difference?
I don't, but I'm really curious now to start. Look, I figure we could you scour eBay and I'll just Google Alice Cooper autograph.
That's pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty funny. I know people hate that.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's like, whenever you see, you know, like, people in California or celebrities walking down the street.
Oh, right.
And it's just people bombard them, and they're like, you're just going to sell this stuff on eBay anyway.
I did this to Derek Jeter one time. I was responsible for other people doing it to Derek Jeter. I could see Jeter and Posada walking down Michigan Avenue. They were playing the Sox, a night game.
Yeah.
I could see them walking down Michigan Avenue from my bus that I was on. I believe it was the 146, maybe. I don't know. Whatever it was. I could see them like, oh. Because what I noticed first was the cloud of people about 20 feet behind. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
And then I realized, okay, it's the autograph hounds trailing Jeter and Posada.
Yeah.
So the bus is hardly moving in traffic. I just pay no more attention. I step off the bus and go to turn to go into my building at Michigan in Grand and walk right into Jeter, which was the break all of those idiots were waiting for, and they just attacked.
Oh, so
they all swarmed, and I'm like standing there like looking horrified, and I go, I am so sorry. And Posada loses it and starts laughing. But a guy comes up with a manila envelope and he pulls out an 8x10, you know, can I have your autograph? And Jeter signs it and then proceeds to like rapid fire shoot 8x10s at him, and he got about 10 of them before Jeter just looked at him like,
yeah,
no.
No. Okay.
But you know all 10 of those are going straight on eBay.
Absolutely. Okay, hang on, Jim, okay? Jim Ryan is with us. Lots more to talk about here on WGN, but we got a break for the news. Welcome back. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. It's Friday. That means all the regular Friday features will be happening. Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show, Spies, You Big Dummy, and Fly James Friday. And we also, it is Epilepsy Awareness Month, so we're going to have Dr. Stefan Schuhl from Northwestern Medicine on to discuss that. And that's all coming up on the show. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text, 312-981-7200, and your fly jam requests for later on. Follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show and stay connected on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Nick D Show. Yeah, so Jim Ryan is with us. Hi, Jim. Welcome back.
Hi, Nick.
Fresh from seeing Booker T. Washington.
Booker T. Jones.
Yeah.
Yes.
At the City Winery.
Yes.
So very, very cool. And you were just telling me off the air that you had kind of an interesting experience when you went to go see The Irishman at the Landmark. The Landmark Century Theater there, right? At Clark and Diversey.
Yeah. I had never... No, I've walked by that
place.
Oh,
you've never been in that
times.
Theater?
No.
Wow.
I think I've been in that building once. Stopped at a Sunglass Hut.
It used to be... the Century Mall.
It's really not a mall anymore, which I did not realize. If you want to rent a car, though... That's an option that's available
to
you.
It used to just be just a weird mall.
There's a Hertz Rent-A-Car in there now.
Is there?
Mm-hmm.
We used to go there when I was a kid because it was like, it was unique because there was glass elevators.
It's still pretty unique, but not necessarily
in
good ways.
You could walk all the way up.
Right.
Because it's round and it goes all the way up. Like the Guggenheim. Well, not quite like the Guggenheim, but... No, not comparing the Century Mall to the Guggenheim.
The Limited.
Yeah. And they had like regular, like weird. We used to go there because when I was a kid, we'd go there. There was a movie theater around the corner. They didn't have movie theaters inside there.
Okay.
There was a movie theater around the corner called the Parkway, and so we would see movies there. And then there was an arcade, like a pinball like arcade, video arcade
at Landmark.
At the Century where the theaters are now. Oh, it was all the way up in the top.
So there's a full bar and stuff in there now, but so I actually
there's a full
did
bar. Of course, there is now.
Yeah,
you can booze up at movies now.
Yeah,
you know
I don't
I mean?
Understand the appeal of that.
Yeah,
I enjoy a beverage, but I don't want to get up, especially during a movie like The Irishman,
which
where
I'm gonna
have to use the restroom 57 times. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's funny because I just noticed the timing on this was like when I quit drinking, suddenly there were bars all over the place in every theater. I started noticing it like right after I stopped drinking. I was like, "What?
What happened in the last?
What's going on here?" All right.
Well, I did the walkway on the way out. Yeah. So there's the most bizarre things in there now. There's some law office, and then I'm not exaggerating. There's a Hertz Rent-A-Car, and it actually makes sense if you think about it because they probably store them all in the parking facility that's attached.
Yeah.
There's an axe throwing. Thing
oh, there is now?
Yeah.
Jeez. It's been years since I noticed, I went there, last time I went there was with The Irishman, but I took an elevator all the way up.
Well, yeah.
And then an elevator all the way down.
Take the walk down.
Okay.
It's worth it.
I didn't even notice. I just walked in, went up to the theater.
That's a very strange.
It's been a very, very long time since I've even walked around then that place. So, but anyway, so you went to the Landmark to see The Irishman.
Yeah, and it was awful. Well, the movie was great.
The movie's great. Yes. So what happened?
So walk in the concession line, there was a guy, cause this is the noon showing, by the way.
Yeah.
There's a guy complaining that they're out of hard cider. he's complaining first that he had to drive in from Naperville because they weren't showing it in Naperville. And I come all the way in from Naperville in the snow and you're out of hard cider at noon on Friday.
That sounds like Naperville, considering what's been going on in the news with Naperville lately. Okay, so the guy's upset. It's noon. He can't have hard cider.
He settled for 44 ounces of Miller Lite. I believe it was Miller Lite. They're like, well, we can get you beer. And he's like, oh, okay, great. They're like 16 or 22. And he goes, how many can I get? You can get two. He goes, two 22 ounces. So he left with 44 ounces of beer.
That's unbelievable.
Uh-huh.
For the noon show of The Irishman.
Yes.
Wow.
On a Friday. On Monday. It was on Monday.
It was a holiday. Oh,
it was Veterans Day.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That guy from Naperville proceeded to answer his phone later during the movie.
During the movie.
Mm-hmm. Now, in his defense, you've been in there... And no one's been able to contact you for almost 4 hours.
Yeah.
Maybe you do have an excuse to answer a phone. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. So he answers the phone.
He answers his phone.
After drinking a bunch of light beer.
Somebody had snuck in what sounded like a jewel brown bag, because every time he would start going through it, all you would hear was this bag rustling, mm-hmm. and then the pop top of a can. Now, I'm assuming, considering all the pop tops I heard, that this guy didn't drink 18 Cokes during the movie.
I would imagine it would have been beer. That would be
probably beer. You know, Ice
just
House.
People getting sauced up on a Monday to see a Scorsese movie.
Yeah, to see The Irishman.
100% of the time. As having worked in a movie theater that served booze and people still snuck it in anyway, people will get sauced watching anything.
I don't understand that.
So this guy would proceed.
Unless I was at Bruin View. That's the only kind.
Bruin
you know,
View, and it's something you've seen 20 times.
Yeah, yeah. Or you're at Bruin View and the movie sucks.
I think if you have to get up to use the bathroom 15 times during a 3.5-hour Scorsese movie, you're going to lose the plot.
No kidding.
Like, especially this story that bounces
so crazy
back and forth.
All right.
It's not
so
chronological.
Lots of boozers in the theater with you.
And then the guy would proceed to throw the can on the floor where they would roll. And you would just hear it at these quiet points, the can rolling toward the front of the theater. It was...
you don't expect this when you go to see a prestige movie like The Irishman. I don't know.
Had a conversation with about mental health with someone in line.
Uh-huh.
That's always enlightening. And then the cherry on top of the whole thing, the guy farting ludicrously loudly
throughout the movie.
Throughout the movie.
God, sounds like a nightmare.
In a quiet theater.
That sounds like a nightmare.
I swear, this is why I don't go to the theater a lot anymore.
You could have waited till the end of the month.
And watch it on Netflix.
And watch it on Netflix, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
But when it comes to a Scorsese movie, I want to go
of course
get the theatrical
you, yeah, you have to.
Experience.
Well, that's terrible.
But next time I'm going to do it on 10 p.m. on a Wednesday.
Yeah, and see if that's any safer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've never really had a terrible experience at the Landmark.
I don't even blame the Landmark because now I feel like it's every time.
No, I understand that. I mean,
the phones.
People who go to movies generally don't know how to behave.
Answering the phone to me, that's
it's ridiculous.
How does anyone think
if your phone buzzes and you look and it's a call that you have to take, go out to the lobby.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's an important call, I understand that. Go out to the lobby and take it. Don't take it in the middle of the theater. It's funny because, like, we've talked about this. This is something that's popped up on this show for years, is that behavior at movie theaters has declined over the years to the point where it's absurd now.
It just kind of echoes society in general.
It's also, like, now people just think they're in their own house you can talk, you can pause mm-hmm. movies, you can watch, you know, you can. So they just think that kind of behavior is accepted in a movie theater. It's not. If you can't shut up for 2 hours, don't go to a movie.
Right.
I mean, it's that simple. Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
Farting guy.
The farting guy during the Scorsese movie.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, at least the movie was good.
The movie was phenomenal.
Yeah.
What? Who was the highlight to you in that?
De Niro.
See, I thought it was Pesci. I thought Pesci was wonderful.
Pesci ruled, but this is like De Niro's best performance in a long time.
De Niro was fantastic, and I thought Pesci was.
Yeah.
Because I'm so used to Pesci coming as the brash in your face.
Yeah.
And he's not that guy.
No, he's not.
At all.
No. And it was great to see him, too, because he hasn't been in a movie in a really long time.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a great movie. I recommend people see it, despite the fact of what you just described.
The movie is worth seeing.
I really would like people to see it in the theater, because that's, you know, the way you should see this movie.
Right.
It's an epic on a grand scale, and it's a Scorsese movie, and you should see it on the big screen. But after this story, people are like, no, I'm going to wait till Netflix.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that's not good.
You know, just sneak in the 18-pack of Ice House and throw it on the floor.
Now, I'm looking at one of your one of your posts, one of your tweets.
Okay.
And since this is another thing about being with a crowd in public, I generally bite my tongue on phones at concerts. I get a little annoyed by the occasional iPad, but I really, really can't get enough of the two ignorant people in front of me trying to FaceTime during Night Dreamer's opening set for Peter Hook tonight at the Metro. Amazing. And then you've got a nice picture of these people FaceTiming.
See, could have hashtagged that okay boomer, by the way.
Yeah. Well, this is November 1st you posted this. And I think that's before the OK Boomer thing started.
Yeah, it was like right before it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, that's pretty funny. That's pretty funny. I thought that would be a nice, you know, segue from what we were just talking about, the bad behavior of the movie theater. Well,
and I was even more fired up in my Facebook post on that. But the opening act featured Jeff Schroeder on guitar from Smashing Pumpkins. They were very much worth watching. The guy in that photo doing the FaceTiming was wearing a flannel shirt with a New Order t-shirt over the flannel, which is always a good look.
What?
Flannel shirt, New Order t-shirt over the flannel. This was at Peter Hook.
Did you see this guy?
So,
I did not see this guy, but Jim was making a beeline back to the bar.
I was getting the hell out.
He got away from there. He makes a beeline back to the bar, and I saw him. I was like, Jim!
I didn't see Tom.
Yeah.
He grabs me.
I was like, what's going on, man? And unfortunately, when he started hanging out over by us, it didn't get much better because the two people, there are four people in front of us that started also FaceTiming.
I had never seen this. This was a first for me. I left to get away from it, and Tom is yelling at this guy. Tom and his buddy are yelling at this guy in front of him. I go, what did he do? And Tom goes, he's FaceTiming. I'm like, that's what I was just trying to get away from. What the hell's going on at the show?
I was trying, whoever was, because they had it faced towards them, not even the show.
Oh,
they were face, it was face to face. So I was right behind him. I was trying to, you know, flip him the bird or something like that, ruin the experience, but it didn't work.
Wow.
Yeah.
The show was good though, right?
Oh my God. That show was, I've seen New Order a couple of times.
Yeah.
And I that show at Metro, Peter Hook, made me realize how vastly underrated I had Peter Hook as part of that experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
His bass playing is such a part of that signature sound on that older stuff.
Yeah. Well, and I know, Tom, you were excited to go.
Well, yeah, it was the best bang for your buck that I've ever had at a concert because it was like maybe $30-$35 ticket.
Yeah.
He played three full sets, two entire albums, and then just kind of like a fan favorite set.
Wow.
It was crazy.
Insane.
Yeah.
That's great. Okay, except for the people FaceTiming.
That I can't get over that one. I mean, it's
beyond the pale.
They were continually trying to yell louder and louder to try to make sure both parties could understand each other over the opening act.
I don't get it.
I know.
I just don't get it.
People.
Yep. All right. Let's take a break here. Now, before we started talking about bad experiences with public crowds.
Yeah.
When we returned from the break, Tom played a little John Fogerty.
Yes.
So you interviewed him.
He was wonderful.
I can't wait to hear it. I can't wait to hear it. So we'll talk about John Fogerty coming up with Jim Ryan right here on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720. I almost mispronounced my own name. And we are live in the Skyline studio here until 5 o'clock on a Friday morning. All the regular Friday features are coming up. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. The news is also next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All right. Jim Ryan is here. How you, Jim?
Howdy.
So that was John Fogerty.
Yeah.
Tell me about the experience of talking to him.
I think we cut it off at about the 35-minute mark so he could get on to the next one. I mean, he's another one where he's got so many stories, and they're fantastic. Are you a CCR fan?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. I can't imagine anybody not being a CCR fan.
It worked out super well. I had just seen him in Louisville 2 weeks before, 3 weeks before the phone call, and what he's promoting is his 50-year trip live at Red Rocks. Fathom Events put it out as a concert film on Monday in theaters for Veterans Day, and then it's got a CD and digital release.
Mm-hmm.
It's out now. It came out on the 8th. So the show he's doing right now, the live show, is a lot of stories. A lot of these guys are kind of doing that now, incorporating almost that storyteller's type of element into the live show.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when I saw that show in Louisville, I had seen it. I knew what the stories were. I was super well prepared for that interview. But he's got it starts in 1969, obviously, the 50-year trip, and he tells a story on stage about purchasing a red Rickenbacker guitar on January 1st of 69, and from there, I kind of put together that the timeline goes, he buys that, they were just coming off the self-titled first album in 68 with Susie Q as the hit.
Right.
He tells this incredible story about how they have, he goes, we have one hit and we have a name. We have nothing else. We're wandering in rock and roll wilderness. And I, the rest of the band doesn't get it, but I understand we have to seize now or this is going to be gone. And it just becomes this dire urgency. And the story in my Forbes piece, him telling it is unbelievable. But that basically, he tells how this led to Proud Mary.
Mm-hmm.
So 69 becomes buying this red Rickenbacker guitar on the first, after in December of 68, he played at the Fillmore East, which had just opened a couple months before with Deep Purple and James Cotton.
Oh, wow.
That was the bill.
Wow.
And he said a 12-year-old kid would come backstage all the time at the Fillmore and he gave him his guitar. So he needed a new one. He buys this red Rickenbacker on the first of the year. They did Ed Sullivan for the first time in March of 69, mm-hmm. and then they did Woodstock in August of 69.
Wow.
I'm like, that's a hell of a 8-month stretch.
Yeah, that's amazing.
But so he tells these stories, and then he gets into a little bit on what kind of a magical place Red Rocks is and how it almost acts as a bit of a character in, you know, when it comes to a concert film like this. But his stories, I mean, it's...
yeah. Yeah, he's been around, obviously, for a long time. Was it fun to interview him?
Like, he couldn't have been better. The film got its theatrical release on Veterans Day, and so I talked to him a bit about the fact that what I've always thought separates his protest songs kind of from a lot of the other ones in that era is the fact that he served in the Army Reserve, so he's got a little bit of a different perspective, and I think those songs act with empathy toward the soldiers, toward the people fighting, in a way that's a lot different than a lot of the protest songs does, because he addresses that part of it with empathy, but still makes his scathing political points.
Yeah.
And I can't think of a lot of other songs that do that as well. Fortunate Son's obviously a great example.
You know, speaking of Fortunate Son, I've told this story on the air before. You know, there was that long battle that he had with his brother and the label and everything, and he wouldn't play Creedence songs.
Right.
Like, for years, he wouldn't. And he was playing a concert for veterans, many of whom served in Vietnam, and it was just the entire crowd was veterans, and he hadn't played Fortunate Son over 10 years or something like that, and he played it, and the place went nuts. He decided on the spot
to do it,
just because these guys, you know, these men and women served, and some served in Vietnam, and so he played Fortunate Son, and the whole place went berserk.
Well, he did a bunch of events then around Veterans Day. He's in the midst of a Vegas residency at the Wynn, so he did a screening for veterans of the film in Las Vegas, and then he took what was supposed to be kind of the centerpiece of this 50-year trip idea from 69 to 2019 was what should have been his performance at Woodstock 50.
Oh.
Returning, you know, after 50 years, but obviously that whole thing imploded. But the artist still got paid. They got their performance fee.
Mm-hmm.
So him and his wife donated his performance fee to a group called Veterans Village in Las Vegas, which I get they pay for container homes for veterans.
Oh, okay.
Housing for veterans in Las Vegas. So he took his fee and he donated it for that. So we kind of spoke about that whole idea of just how important it is to be involved, like you said, with that story. And then he did, you know, private screenings for them and stuff in Las Vegas on Veterans Day. So it's, I mean, he's still so active with that stuff, and he obviously cares, and it's just nice to see an artist of his stature who still does.
Yeah, and people can read this at Forbes, right?
Yeah, that's up at Forbes.
Yeah, Forbes.com. Yeah, did you talk to him over the phone?
Yeah, that was over the phone. And again, I mean, to have someone like him on the phone for 35 minutes, I mean, we talked about, there's so much stuff. When I transcribed the interview and then went to write the piece, I couldn't believe how much stuff I couldn't squeeze in. I mean, I had so much stuff from him. It's ridiculous. But he writes those songs about Vietnam, and he writes, obviously, about, you know, the idea of the class system during the Nixon era.
Yeah.
And we talked about whether or not there are parallels maybe to be drawn today to an idea like that.
Yeah.
He talked about the activism he sees in millennials. It was... He's very sharp. It was...
Well, he's... Yeah. I mean, he's always been one of my favorites.
Yeah.
John Fogerty's always been a favorite of mine. And it's great to see these. And the concert film has been released.
Yeah. It's... well, it was a one-day-only screening on Veterans Day.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's out on CD and digital, and it got the one-day theatrical run.
Okay. All right, cool. That's John Fogerty. Just an amazing... when you saw him, was he wearing a flannel?
He was... It was pretty funny.
But he didn't have a New Order T-shirt over it.
No, he did not. No. But my photographer shot him the week before in Telluride, and he was wearing the same flannel for both shows. All the photos look the same.
God bless him. All right, Jim, hang on. We got to take a break here for the news, and we come back more with Jim Ryan on 720 WGN. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Skyline studio here, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. It's Friday morning. All the regular Friday features are coming up straight out of context. Nick D Show Spies, you big dummy. Fly Jams Friday. Also, this is Epilepsy Awareness Month, so we wanted to talk about that. So Dr. Stefan Schul is going to join us. He's from Northwestern Medicine, and we're going to bring some awareness about epilepsy and the facts and the misconceptions about it as well. So that's coming up after the 3 o'clock news. Right now, Jim Ryan is with us. He joins us usually once a month to talk music and more. Welcome back, Jim.
Thank you, sir.
We are going to play a round of Rock of Ages.
All right.
And, we'll see. Did I win the last time?
I believe you did.
I think you did.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
It was a close one last time, if I'm not mistaken.
It was close, all the way down to the wire.
Yeah, I think it went down to the last question.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll get into that. That's going to be fun. By the way, I also like that one of your other posts is you posted a picture of the brothers from the Black Crowes, and it says they look really thrilled about this reunion.
That's the current publicity shot, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
That's what they have picked to promote this tour.
Yeah, well, my friend Scott's a big Black Crowes fan.
Okay.
And they were on Stern's show.
Yeah.
And they performed, and he posted some of that stuff on Facebook. They sound great.
Yeah.
They sound absolutely great.
It's no one else from the original band. It's Chris and Rich.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when they broke up 5 or 6 years ago, whatever it was, Rich had put out that scathing statement saying that they were breaking up because Chris wanted 3/4 of Rich's share, and he wanted the entire share of Steve Gorman, their drummer from 28 years, and that he couldn't do it. And I find it interesting that they're back together now, and Steve Gorman is not in the band and will not be collecting his share of any of that.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Almost like that demand that Rich criticized came to fruition.
Yeah. But you know, I mean, they've always been.
I love them.
I do too. I think they're great. But I still always loved when they toured with Oasis. On the Brotherly Love tour
with Space Hog opening.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I just thought that was amazing.
They were well. So I mean, what became so frustrating about that band toward the end to me, well, interesting and frustrating at the same time, because you never knew what set list you were going to get from one night to the next, which is great. But if you got a Rich show, it was going to be like fantastic, rocking like, you know, Exile era Stones. And if you got a Chris show, it was going to be like Grateful Dead Light.
Yeah.
And in Tinley Park on the Brotherly Love tour, they were Grateful Dead Light.
Oh, were they?
They were terrible. They brought Lonnie Brooks out and did Sweet Home Chicago, which was really cool.
Yeah.
But Oasis blew him off the stage in Tinley.
Wow.
In my opinion.
I think they should have, you know, in order to make that a complete Brotherly Love tour, the Kinks should have been there, too.
Yeah, right? Seriously.
And Fogerty. You could have had Credence. So, I one of your stories makes me feel really old.
Which one?
Because Throwing Copper is 25 years old.
It is.
I can't even.
It is.
That's crazy to me.
It's, it's something.
I love that record.
I do, too. And they never really got close to that ever again. There's some terrible live lyrics out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you talked to Ed.
Yeah.
Kowalczyk. And I'm a fan of Live. I especially like that record. I saw them
Tinley?
In Tinley, Buffalo Tom.
In Veruca Salt, right?
Veruca Salt.
Yeah, I remember that.
PJ Harvey.
That's a phenomenal lineup.
Yeah, Buffalo Tom, Veruca Salt, PJ Harvey, and Live.
That's great.
Yeah, no, it was fantastic.
You cannot go wrong with that lineup.
There were like six people there for Buffalo Tom. It was still light out when they came out.
They still sound fantastic, by the way. Ed, they don't tune down. Ed can still hit those notes.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they still play those songs.
So what was it? What did you talk to them?
We talked about the 25th anniversary of Throwing Copper, and that was in Louisville last month. That 25th anniversary reissue has, in its entirety, their 1994 Woodstock set.
Yeah.
That's part of the reissue, which is pretty cool, because there's not a lot of that stuff. Even on the Woodstock concert film when it came out in 94, it was one or two songs from some of these artists, but it's their entire set. But he talked about, he had mentioned it on stage during their performance, and then I asked him about it, how some of these songs address, you know, they came out of York, Pennsylvania, and experienced things like racial strife. Some of the songs on that album kind of reference that.
Yeah.
So we talked about what it's like to look back on those songs 25 years later and see that some of that subject matter is just as pertinent now, if not more so, than it was back then.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, on one hand, it's great that those songs continue to resonate, but on the other hand, you wish that it wasn't maybe for some of the reasons that they do.
Yeah.
But then he talked about how a song like Lightning Crashes resonates with people 25 years later for totally different reasons. Yeah. But,
well, because of the use of placenta.
Yes.
I think it's the only song ever to use the word placenta as a lyric.
he's so serious when he says it, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But, he's a very humble guy, and they have a new EP out. So we spoke about that, too. They actually have new music out, so they're not just trotting out the hits. They didn't do the album in full on that tour, but they toured the summer with Bush.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So,
that's
90s
right.
Nostalgia.
'90s nostalgia is the thing. It's a thing. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, when that album, when they were big back then, I was clean shaven.
Okay.
And I used to get him all the time.
Ed?
Yeah. It's like, oh, you look like the guy from Live.
Thanks.
And I was like, all right. Okay.
Cool.
And then I am
the guy from Live.
Yeah,
how are you?
Yeah. The video for I Alone?
Yes.
That was I was watching and I was like, yeah, you know, I kind of do look like this guy. I'm not anymore. I was much thinner then too. But yeah, so I used to get that all the time, the guy from Live.
It's nice to see some of these bands actually coming back around and still putting out new music.
Yeah. You know, they're still touring who headlined?
I think they were switching off, but now they're doing something similar with that tour. I think it's Live, Bush, and Stone Temple Pilots, and they're doing it in Australia next.
Yeah.
Well, so I don't know who...
You can't have Stone Temple Pilots, man.
Well, why not?
I don't know.
I feel bad for when people say that about some of these bands. I mean, what are those guys supposed to do?
Yeah.
That's the one thing they know how to do. It's not their fault. I mean, they now are on their third lead singer with two of them dead.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't begrudge them trying to go out and make a living.
All right. But did you ask him about Fight Club?
Did not ask him about Fight Club.
You didn't ask him about Fight Club.
I should have asked him about Fight Club. Yes. Oh, man.
That's the first rule of Fight Club.
Yeah.
Well.
he's fantastic. He's got one scene in the movie. He's a waiter. And all of a sudden, I
totally forgot. Until you just said it right now, I totally forgot that he's in Fight Club.
Wait a minute. Is that
I would love to know how it happened.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never, you know, but I always found it hilarious that it was him. He's all beat up and he's a waiter. So anyway.
I'm going to have to watch it again now.
Yeah, no, he's only in one scene, about three quarters of the way through the movie. So
a lot of Ed Kowalczyk on the cutting room floor, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure there was a whole subplot. and then speaking of lead singers of bands, the Flaming Lips, you talked with... Wayne Coyne.
I love the Flaming Lips. Are you a fan or no? Did you used to be a fan?
I used to be.
Okay.
Yeah, I used to be. Not so much anymore. I think that the Soft Bulletin,
right,
is one of the greatest. 99. I think it's one of the greatest albums of all time.
And then by Yoshimi, you were kind of
I started to lose. You know, I saw him at the Metro a couple times. And it was for that tour.
Okay.
For the Soft Bulletin. But that album, I think that album's amazing. Absolutely one of my favorite albums of all time.
They just put out a live version of it with a symphony orchestra.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, live at, I think that's another one, live at Red Rocks with the Colorado Symphony Orchestra, recorded in, I think, 99, because they're celebrating 20 years of that now.
Yeah, I know, that's 20 years
crazy,
old.
Which is crazy, right?
It's insane.
I know, because it's not even one you consider, like, when you think of, when I think of the Flaming Lips in the 90s, I think of Transmissions from the Satellite Heart, and you know, the Jelly song. I don't think of the Soft Bulletin, but it totally is a 90s album, and it is 20 years old.
Yeah, and did now when you talked to him, was he in a big ball?
He did that about an hour later. He did that, yeah.
Well, what'd you talk to him about?
Well, so it was interesting. So this was at the Bourbon and Beyond Festival, I knew that the Flaming Lips had collaborated with, just up the street in Evanston, the Few Distillery on a Flaming Lips bourbon.
Okay.
So that was my whole excuse, like, when I pitched it. I'm like, I'm in Chicago, I'm familiar with, you know, this collaboration that they had on the bourbon. It's the Bourbon Beyond Festival, it's an easy tie-in, let me talk to him about that. You know, we'll talk about the new album, because you might be intrigued by this on the new album. Mick Jones is on it quite a bit.
Oh, is that right?
As a narrator. He's telling the story parts in between the songs, because the whole new album, King's Mouth, is based on a Wayne Coyne art installation of paintings and sculptures.
What?
Yeah, and they put an album to it, and Mick Jones advances the story.
Wow.
So I got the story from him on how the hell that happened.
Yeah, how did that happen?
He knew someone from Big Audio Dynamite.
Are they still together?
I don't know if they're still together, but they did Lollapalooza a couple years ago.
Did they?
Fairly recently, they were a thing again.
Wow, okay.
So Wayne knew someone from someone who opened for the Flaming Lips a couple years ago, and a British artist named Georgia, knew someone in Big Audio Dynamite who obviously knew Mick Jones.
Right.
And Wayne kind of made the joke, you should try to get him to do narration on a new album. And sure enough, it actually happened.
So he just said yes?
So
this guy
says to Wayne, well, Mick doesn't do any of that stuff, but I'll get him to do it for you, Wayne. And Wayne went, sure, right, whatever. But gave him the prose that he wanted read. And he goes, all of a sudden, he goes, I start getting emails back, and lo and behold, it's Mick Jones narrating.
That's amazing.
He goes, we didn't expect it. We didn't think it was going to happen. But it actually, he goes, we weren't that far along in the process of the music, and it kind of spurred us to, you know, to get it done.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was pretty great. But
yeah.
So the bourbon thing, so I had prepped and realized that Wayne Coyne is not a bourbon fan, that this was not, collaborating on bourbon was not actually, you know, high on his list. They were actually just slapping the name on something.
No.
And it was a creative endeavor. Like, the bottle looks really cool and stuff, but so I asked him anyway, because I'm like, well, I still would like to get a quote, since it's the Bourbon Beyond Festival, something.
Even though he doesn't drink bourbon.
He proceeds to start telling me how his favorite bourbon is Fireball.
Oh!
I didn't realize he was a college co-ed.
Yeah.
Oh!
And I couldn't figure out if he was trying to just screw around with me, or if he was actually trying to tell me, no, I really like Fireball. Because he was trying to get me to say it. He kept going, you know which one I like? I really, that one is very cinnamony. Like, it's like, and finally, after he did it for like a third time, I'm like, Fireball? He's like, that's the one. He's like, you know what I like about it? I'm like, no, please tell me. I'm sure this is going to be very enlightening. He goes, now, a lot of people probably don't say this, but for me, what it does, he goes, when I drink Fireball, it staves off my acid reflux. So I think he was just screwing with me.
He was screwing with you.
So I didn't put it in the article. But I have on tape Wayne Coyne talking about how Fireball alleviates acid reflux for him.
How much would we have to pay you for the tape?
I'll bring it in.
Oh, my God.
That is outstanding. All right. Let's take a quick break. Jim Ryan is here. I think we just did a commercial for Fireball. So... All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. After the 2:30 news, we're going to play a round of Rock of Ages with Jim Ryan and Tom here, and we'll see who wins this this battle of Rock of Ages. So, we get a text from someone here.
Okay.
The 708 area code says, from the era we were talking about, do the guys remember Material Issue? And if Ellison hadn't died, wouldn't they have taken off?
I love Material Issue.
Yeah.
And I would argue, in some ways, they did take off.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. It's such a sad story.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I mean, there was the early MTV exposure.
Right.
They had, you know,
I think I remember when they were here. Well, obviously, locally here. You know what I mean?
Video on MTV, to me, that's...
No, it's big.
It didn't last, but
yeah.
I would say they had their moment there.
Just like enough's enough.
I not just like enough's enough.
They had... New Thing was a huge video for them.
Chips Enough.
Chips Enough. I drank with Chips Enough.
You know what? I don't think that's as exclusive a club as you might think.
It's not. I was. I remember this was like.
Was it in Blue Island? Where?
No, it was
Elsip.
What hotel was it? I was staying at a hotel with my girlfriend. We got
Super 8.
We got into a fight.
The Hojo on Ohio?
No, not the Hojo on Ohio. I can't remember which one it was. It was downtown though, and so we got into a fight for some odd reason. And I was like, I'm just going down. I'm going down to the bar. I'm going down to the hotel bar. So I go down to the hotel bar, and I get a drink, and all of a sudden, Chips Enough comes in with a gaggle of women and like another dude and everything.
What can you put an era on this?
91.
Okay.
Yeah, 91. So
they
were
still able to do that in 91.
Oh yeah, yeah,
wow.
Yeah. Because
okay.
I mean, what did the New Thing was like 89.
What was their single? Was it Fly High Michelle? Was that them?
Fly High Michelle was a single, and Get High on a New Thing, which is a song. I love that song.
Okay.
And I like the first Enough's Enough record. I think it's good. And I especially, New Thing is one of my, I adore that song.
It's you and Stern. Those are,
yeah.
He's the Enough's
he's
Enough
always
super
on
fan,
Stern.
Right?
He's always on Stern. But anyway, he had the hair, the whole.
Okay.
I ended up getting drunk with him. And then I came up, I go back upstairs to the room, and I wake up my girlfriend, who's already mad at me. And I wake her up and go, I just got drunk with Chips Enough. She's like, shut up and go to sleep. And I'm like, but Chips Enough was downstairs, and I got drunk with Chips Enough.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, but yeah, how the hell did we get on that?
I was just going to say how Material Issue.
Oh, because Material
Issue.
Yeah. No, Material Issue had their moment, and they still, you know, their Material reissue now. And
right.
My friend Phil Angotti plays with them.
Yeah, very, very well.
And they're great. So,
I always say that they opened the door for all of the 90s alternative stuff. They were there first. That first Material Issue album was 88?
Yeah.
88, I think.
Yep.
Is that right?
I think so.
I mean... The Pumpkins and all that stuff were still kind of gurgling underneath the surface, and to me it was Material Issue that kicked that door open for Chicago.
Yeah, it's a sad story though. It makes me sad every time we talk about Ellison.
One of my favorite bands.
Yeah. All right. Real quick before we break here, Dirty Honey.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
So they're another one in this vein of the next band that's going to save rock. Kind of as the same label that's been thrown on the Greta Van Fleets of the world.
Right.
The difference being that they can take their influences, boil them down, and put their own spin on them.
Right.
Without being quite as derivative.
Yes.
As some of the Greta Van Fleets of the world.
Yes.
So that's where they're at. They were at Chicago Theater. They were opening for Alter Bridge. Actually, I have a very good Alter Bridge story.
Okay.
I don't know if I should tell it on the air, but it involves Mark Tremonti. It involves me overhearing Mark Tremonti talking about trying to decide whether he should get a CPAP and what the ramifications of that would be as a touring musician.
What is going on? CPAP, acid reflux? What the hell is happening this morning?
I'm full of stories this week.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah, I overheard that one while I was waiting for Dirty Honey.
And so what, you talked to them?
So yeah, I talked to them at Chicago Theater, and they had opened for The Who in Grand Rapids when I saw them there like 6 months ago. They've opened for Guns N' Roses now in Vegas a couple of weeks ago, so they're kind of moving up that festival thing into these bigger opening slots. So the story we talked about was they just charted a number one song on the Billboard Modern Rock chart for the first time in the 40-year history of that chart. Number one, a song charted to number one by an unsigned artist.
Oh,
they're not signed by a label. They have not signed away their publishing. They're not banking on this yet.
Yeah.
This was my Forbes angle with Dirty Honey. But down the road, that obviously could come in very handy if they blow up.
Hang on for a second. We'll finish this after the break because we got to get to the news. But we'll be back. Jim Ryan is here. Def Leppard, man. Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. It's Friday morning. All the regular Friday features will be coming up a little bit later on. We're going to talk about some of the worst menu items that you can find in restaurants and fast food joints. And we're also, on a serious note, going to talk about epilepsy. It's Epilepsy Awareness Month. Dr. Stefan Schul is going to join us from Northwestern Medicine to talk about that, cast a spotlight on that. So you just heard a little Def Leppard. You know, for people who weren't around in 1983, Pyromania.
Yeah.
My God, was that a big record.
And then Hysteria was even bigger.
Yeah, Hysteria. Yeah, actually, Hysteria was bigger. But yeah. I like both those records.
So
I don't care.
So do I. No, I'm okay with Def Leppard. In fact, I would like it on my tombstone that I was responsible for Def Leppard being played on WGN monthly over the course of however long it ends up being.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right, Def Leppard. But yeah, I think Pyromania and Hysteria are both really good.
Photograph. How Photograph can you argue
is with Photograph is a perfect song.
When people lump them in with the hair metal thing, I get it, but I think Def Leppard actually was doing it well.
Well, you know, Photograph to me, I've said this before, it's a perfect song.
It's like pop metal.
It is a perfect song.
Yeah, it's great.
And I love it. It's one of my favorite songs of
all time. It's catchy as hell.
It is. Now, did you want to say anything more about Dirty Honey?
No, I think that's mainly it. That they're kind of the up and coming rock act. They've opened for a lot of acts that a lot of people like, The Who, yeah. Guns N' Roses. And I love that they're trying to chart. They didn't do it intentionally, as the guitar player put it to me.
Yeah.
We invited the box in. The box just kept saying no. So it was not intentional to try to chart a number one hit as an independent act, but it's worked out real well, and we'll see if it continues to.
So the John Fogerty article, the Ed Kowalczyk article, the Wayne Quayne, and the Dirty Honey, all available at Forbes.
They're all at Forbes, and I've got Booker T coming tomorrow or Monday, and I've got INXS coming on the 25th.
Ah, yeah. Who sings for those guys now?
So
is it still the guy who won the competition?
It's such a sordid story. Tim Ferriss has this significant finger injury from a fishing accident and can't play guitar anymore. So they're...
Wow.
But Live at Wembley is getting a theatrical release in December.
Oh. Okay. Well, there
so
we go.
So that's what we talked about.
All right. We ready to play a little Rock of Ages?
Yes.
So this is how it works. I ask Jim a question. Jim asks Tom a question. And Tom asks me a question. And they're in different categories, music categories. The first one is 50s and 60s, and then 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, or Beatles and Elvis. So either the question is about Beatles or the question is about Elvis. So that's how it works. And are we ready to begin?
Yes,
Let's
sir.
Do it.
Okay. Jim, here's your first question.
All right.
What year was the peak of the hippie counterculture and referred to as the Summer of Love?
69. It's not
67? Yeah.
I went 69 because of Woodstock, but 67 was
Brian
the one that
Adams,
jumped into
you,
my
that's
head.
That's why you went because of Brian Adams.
I do love Brian Adams, by the way.
So do I. Okay. But Reckless is a great record.
What did Def Leppard and Brian Adams have in common?
John Mutt Lange.
That's right.
Yes. Great producer.
Mm-hmm.
Not a good husband.
And that's why Waking Up the Neighbors sounds like Hysteria.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything he does sounds good. I mean,
the
he's
cars,
a great, great,
yeah,
great,
all of it.
Great, great producer. Okay. Your question for Tom.
All right, Tom. 50s, 60s.
Okay.
Scopes trial attorney Sue K. Hicks was the inspiration for what ditty written by Shel Silverstein and recorded by Johnny Cash?
Oh, a boy named Sue, or a man named Sue. Boy named Sue.
A boy named Sue.
Yeah. A boy named Sue. Yeah.
Yes.
Boom.
There you go.
All right.
Well done,
so
Tom.
One for Tom. All right. All right, man. What do we got?
Sorry about that. One, 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
What magazine did Rolling Stones manager threaten with an infringement suit in 1967?
What magazine did...
The Rolling Stones manager threaten with an infringement suit in 1967?
Hit Parader?
You're way overthinking it.
Oh, you way overthought it. Where, Rolling Stone.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hit Parader.
Uh-huh. Hit Parader. Thrasher.
Circus.
Cream.
In Fisherman. All right.
Cream was a great magazine.
It was.
Lester Bangs wrote for Cream.
Way better than Rolling Stone, if you ask me.
All right, you ready?
I am.
Okay, 70s, 80s. Writer-director John Hughes named three of his popular teen dramas after pre-existing songs. Name at least two of the titles.
Pretty in Pink.
Okay.
Oh, man, I'm blanking.
There are two more, but you only need to
get one. Weird Science? Breakfast Club?
No.
Which one?
Some Kind of Wonderful.
I should know. Some Kind of Wonderful. Okay.
16 Candles.
Oh, that was one for eight.
All right. Next one is for Tom.
All right.
All right, Tom. 70s, 80s. Whose songs include I Think I'm a Clone Now, Amish Paradise, and Pretty Fly for a Rabbi?
I'm going to say the one, the only American treasure, Weird Al Yankovic.
Share a birthday with that man.
Do you?
Oh,
him and Johnny Carson.
That's nice. Wow, that's good, man.
All right.
That's good.
Love Weird Al.
Yeah, oh, please. He's the best. Weird Al's a genius, man. All right. All right, what's next?
All right, Nick. 70s, 80s. What was Arlo Guthrie referring to in the title of his classic hit, City of New Orleans?
What was he referring to?
Yeah, what was Arlo Guthrie referring to in the title of his classic hit, City of New Orleans?
Booker T told a story about this tonight.
He did?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What was he referring to? New Orleans.
He was referring to a train.
A train. That's Arlo Guthrie, of course.
Yeah.
Isn't that written by Steve Goodman, though?
I think so.
Pretty sure City of New Orleans is written by Steve Goodman.
Yeah. All right. All right. I'm not doing very well this morning.
Nor am I.
No, Tom's got two. We've got nothing. All right. Are you ready? 90s, 2000s.
Yes.
Alana Miles had a number one hit in 1990 that shares a name with both a hard liquor and a colored fabric. Name it.
Black Velvet.
That's exactly right.
Yes.
Black Velvet! What happened to her?
You know...
She's a one-hit wonder, right?
Did she's a one-hit wonder, yeah.
She didn't have any... She's drinking... Now you know what she's doing. She's drinking Fireball. That's what she's doing.
Got to stave off that acid reflux.
Yeah, got that acid reflux.
The only way to do it.
Where you get a CPAP machine.
Tom, 90s, 2000s. Are you ready?
I am.
Before they were Pearl Jam, they called themselves Mookie Blaylock. Who was Mookie Blaylock?
Mookie Blaylock? He was a basketball player.
That's correct. Very... Did he play for the Bulls?
No.
He didn't play for the Bulls.
I was gonna say, I don't know about
for
that.
For some reason, I thought he played for the Bulls, but he was a basketball player.
Yeah.
Didn't he...
He was one of the smallest guys to play basketball.
His post-career has not gone so well, if I'm not mistaken.
Mookie Blaylock?
Is he incarcerated?
I don't know. And, and wasn't his number 10?
His number was 10.
So that's why why they called the album 10.
Apparently, he played for the Nets, the Hawks, the Atlanta Hawks, and the Golden State Warriors.
Okay.
All right.
I just think it's really weird that they chose that guy. Like, let's name the album after this guy's number, and let's name our band first Mookie Blaylock.
That's a great name, honestly.
Oh, wow, man.
All right, Nick.
Okay, what happened now?
90s, 2000s. What group released the 95 album A Boy Named Goo?
The Goo Goo Dolls.
That's correct.
That's pretty good. I'm like, man, is he going to overthink this one too?
Yeah.
By the way, Mookie Blaylock was charged with vehicular manslaughter.
Oh.
Ugh.
Yeah. Not good.
No.
That's unfortunate.
That's terrible.
Also had an outstanding warrant on... Wow, he's got a whole list of things
okay,
here going on.
Okay, so you
on.
Were right. Yeah. Okay. Hey, now I have a good post-basketball career. By the way, I saw Goo Goo Dolls because Buffalo Tom opened.
I have a soft spot for the Goo Goo Dolls.
Do you really?
Mm-hmm.
They were ridiculous. We only stayed for two songs.
We're going back to the 90s, is that?
Oh, yeah, yes. Buffalo Tom opened for them.
I didn't see it back then. I've seen them in the last couple
this
of years.
This was at the kind of the, you know,
the height
they
of
were
it.
Really popular at that time. That damn song from the City of Angels.
Because
I don't want the baby.
Iris.
Iris, right.
Jeez.
So that was like the big song. And so we left after like three songs because Buffalo Tom, I was there for Buffalo Tom. So Buffalo Tom opened. And the entire, this is the story that I always tell about this gig. This was at the Riv. And the entire stage was covered in thick plastic. They required this while they were on tour. But Bill told me this.
No, I'm just curious why.
Here it is. Here's the story. One of the requirements at each venue was that they cover the entire stage with a thick plastic.
Okay.
Okay. And the reason why is because their bass player enjoyed playing barefoot, and he liked the feeling of the thick plastic under his feet.
He's kind of a strange guy, by the way.
The bass player?
Robbie, yeah.
I don't, you know, I mean, he was barefoot. But we saw Buffalo Tom. They come out, and they've got, you know, the stage was, they only had like one, like 2 inches
right,
on stage. They were in front of the big setup.
Sure.
Know. So
was the plastic rolled out yet?
They come, yeah, it was taped okay. onto the floor. So they come out, and they just, you know, they come out. Bill goes, yeah, we're Buffalo Tom. We're from Boston. Boom. They do their thing. You know,
kill it.
Unbelievable set. Great. They walk off, and we're like, well, we're curious. We're here. So let's just see what's going on here. And so the lights go down, and I'm telling
you. You start to FaceTime?
I started to FaceTime. So the lights go down. The smoke machines start. Lights are flashing all over the place. You know, the lasers are
right,
going.
Yes.
Every unbelievable rock and roll cliche from the book of Let's Be a Rock Band.
Which is usually not a good sign, by the way.
Was on display. And then finally the lights bust up, the song kicks in, and they run out on stage.
They still do that, by the way.
Yeah. Run out on stage. And so, you know, we watched the first song, and I didn't know what the hell it was. I mean, I knew Name, and I knew Iris. Those were the only two Goo Goo Dolls songs that I knew. So they come out, and then they play a song, and another song, and then he gets into the, what's his name, Johnny Resnick?
Resnick, yeah.
Yeah, Resner. Resnick. So he comes up, and he starts playing the riff from Name, okay? And people are going nuts, and he goes, let me tell you a story about this riff. And I knew we were in trouble. As soon as that sentence came out of his mouth, let me tell you a story about this riff.
Bought me six mansions in Buffalo.
Well, that's what he was like, you know, every time I hear it in a grocery store, you know, I hear people talking bad about it, like we sold out, man. And he's talking about the integrity of the band.
Right,
is,
of
you
the
know,
Goo Goo Dolls, yeah.
Yeah, but while you're walking through a grocery store listening to Name, and at this point we looked at each other and went, we're leaving, and we...
The album before A Boy Named Goo.
It's like a metal album, right?
It's not a metal. Well, they had one of those further back, but this one was kind of rounding those edges before they got to A Boy Named Goo. And Paul Westerberg actually co-wrote a song on there called We Are the Normal.
Wow.
It's really good.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. One of the other things I know about Goo Goo Dolls is they used to be heavier.
Yeah,
and
like a lot.
They are featured on that Nightmare on Elm Street soundtrack with all the other heavy metal bands.
What is my favorite? What is my track out there? Dream Warriors. Who did?
Yeah, Dream Warriors was Dokken.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Don't even mess with Dokken. Okay, are you ready?
Yes.
All right, Beatles or Elvis? Here we go. What new three-letter middle name did John Lennon officially give himself in a rooftop ceremony in 69?
God? What is it?
Ono.
Oh, okay.
So he took his wife's name as
his
middle
wife's name? Okay. Yeah,
right.
I didn't know he did that.
All right. Okay.
I'll be darned.
Well, that's one card down. All right.
I'm still, have I gotten, I did get one. I got a lot of miles.
Yeah, you got one. You and I both have one, and Tom has two.
Tom, Beatles and Elvis, which former Beatle released two triple hit albums?
Meaning three hits on each album, right?
Former Beatle released two triple hit albums. Yeah, I guess two albums with three hits.
I'm going to say Paul McCartney.
No, I think I would have gotten this one. Do you?
I would have said Ringo.
Harrison.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
But they're counting a live album, but All Things Must Pass in Concert for Bangladesh.
Oh, wait a minute. Those are three albums, not three hit. Wait. Three hit albums.
Which former Beatle released two triple hit albums?
That's a weird question.
And I have 3 points, by the way. I'll have you know.
You do?
Yeah, because I got 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s all correct.
All right. Well, there you go. All right.
Are we playing this under dispute?
No.
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 Are you cheating?
No. Is that it?
I got one more for you.
One more for me, and then we'll break. Okay. Yeah.
What was the name of Colonel Parker's private club, which was a takeoff on the Showman's League and a reference to con men?
Yeah, Nick, what was it?
Jeez. I don't know. The con man's club?
No, it was the Snowmen's League. It cost $200 to get in and $10,000 to get out.
Okay. On that note, we're going to take a break. It's 3 for Tom and 1 for Jim and myself, and we'll be back with more after this. Wasn't this song voted best stripper song of all time?
That sounds right. Yeah. Sure. I'll say yeah.
What poll was that?
I'm just guessing, though.
Yeah, no, they did. I think they polled a bunch of
nice pun there. By the way,
yeah, strippers, and that's what they chose as the best stripper song.
When was this survey conducted?
About 2 weeks ago. All right, we're back.
In the parking lot of the Admiral?
Where? Yeah, I was the one who did it. Okay. I did the whole thing. I was in the lobby of the Admiral, just asking people questions. I like to hang out at the lobby of the Admiral. It's a
classy.
Oh,
yeah.
It's fantastic. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on WGN. And the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All righty, then. Are you guys ready for round two?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Tom's in the lead with 3, and you and I are tied with 1.
We've got an uphill climb.
Yes, we do. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
50s, 60s. Georgie Fame and the Blue Flames shot into the top 10 in 1968 with the Ballad of Blank and Blank.
I have no idea.
Bonnie and Clyde.
Okay.
Ballad of Bonnie and Clyde.
Did you know that one?
No.
Okay.
No.
Tom?
Well, I knew it wasn't the Ballad of John and Yoko, so.
No.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Next question for Tom.
Tom, 50s, 60s, the Four Seasons had a hit that was subtitled Oh, What a Night. The actual title consists of a month and a year. Name the song.
December 1963.
Very good.
Yeah.
He's correct.
Okay.
Did Tom just officially win? Well, no.
I don't think so. But anyway, he saw Jersey Boys 500 times.
I wasn't happy about it either.
All right.
All right, 50s, 60s. What 1961 movie contains these three soundtrack titles? Old Thunder Always Wins, Canine Crunchies, and All Dog Alert.
What year?
1961.
Lassie?
No, 101 Dalmatians.
Oh, sure.
Okay. Wow. Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Got a live-action version of that coming out.
Another one?
Well, it's called Cruella.
Oh, yeah, with Emma Stone.
It's Emma Stone, yeah.
I'm excited.
So, all right, you ready?
I am.
70s and 80s. Name the Nazareth hit whose title refers to an English expression for drinking alcohol to cure a hangover.
Yeah. Did you ever hear the terrible GNR version of that on the spaghetti incident?
Yes, I have. Yeah, Hair of the Dog.
Now you're messing with a son of a bitch.
I remember being like shocked when I was a kid.
So here's what I love about the GNR version. Axel says, son of a gun. When does Axel ever pull back and go, hey, you know, let's be, I don't want to say that word.
All right. Okay, so you got 2 now, Jim. All right.
Tom, 70s, 80s, what popular game is referred to in the Yes song, Your Move, All Good People? What game?
Your Move, All Good People.
Yes.
Yeah.
Literally.
I'll say checkers.
You were close. The correct answer is chess.
Oh, you're killing me.
All right.
Nick.
Yeah.
Well, this will be a gimme. 70s, 80s. What 1976 movie contains these three soundtrack titles? Telekinesis, At the Prom, and Bucket of Blood.
That would be Carrie.
That is correct.
All right. Finally, I got another one. Two now. All right, you ready?
I'm in.
Okay. 90s, 2000s. Virginia rock band 7 Mary 3.
Yeah.
Derived their name from A, a biblical reference to the seven deadly sins, B, the call sign of a 70s cop of the cop show Chips, Officer John Baker, or C, a card game invented by the group. 7 Mary 3.
I really want to believe it's Chips, but I'm going to go with the card game.
It's Chips.
Oh, man.
It's Chips.
You tell me I missed a Ponch question?
Yeah, man. Okay.
That's brutal. I'm mathematically eliminated with that.
Yeah.
Tom, 90s, 2000s, which one, within one, what year was Alanis Morissette born? Within 1 year.
Jeez. 1967.
I went way back too far, too. The correct answer is 74.
Oh, wow.
Okay. All right.
All right. Nick, what 93 movie contains these three soundtrack titles? Darby's Emotions, Researching the Brief, and Bourbon Street. Darby's Emotions, Researching the Brief, Bourbon Street.
Pelican Brief?
That is correct.
Okay. I completely forgot that movie even existed. Okay.
All right.
Okay. On whose 1960 TV special did Elvis swap trademark songs with the host? Elvis singing Witchcraft and the host singing Love Me Tender.
Sinatra?
Yes. All right. Can't win, but okay. All right, last question for Tom.
Tom, Beatles and Elvis, fill in this Beatles song title, blank of the Meanies.
Oh, March.
That's correct.
Yeah.
March of the Meanies.
Okay. Tom has won, yeah. But we'll just see if I can get this one right.
What Beatles hit from the White Album did actress Mia Farrow's sister serve as an inspiration for? You can do this.
But I can't even. It's right on the top. It's right on the tip of my tongue, and I can't think of it. Now I can't.
Dear Prudence.
Dear Prudence, of course. All right. Well, Tom's the winner.
Look at that.
How about that? All right, Jim. Great to see you, buddy.
Thank you, Nick. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you get some rest. We'll talk to you next month. Jim Ryan, everybody, and you can go to RadioJimRyan.com for more info. We got the news coming up after this. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Skyline studio. Hey, Vic. Vic? Are you, you talked about that football game? You know, that ending of the football game? Did you see the footage?
Yeah, I just saw it.
Didn't he just, he rips off the guy's helmet and smacks him in the head with it?
Smacked him in the head with it. Used it as a weapon.
Oh my
it's
God.
Really bad. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen that in an NFL football game.
And that was the Browns, right?
Yeah, and they're big rivals. You know, the Browns and the Steelers. But that's still. And I'm reading about it now. The quarterback Baker Mayfield spoke about it in his post game interview, and was pretty straight. He didn't candy coat it. He said, he called it inexcusable, even though the game was heated throughout. You know, it was a tough fought game. It was kind of an ugly game anyway, and did even uglier. But he called it out and said it's inexcusable, and that you can't do that sort of thing on the field. They've been hurting themselves like this. They're on a 2-game win streak.
Yeah,
but I'm watching it again now, played out on CNN, and there's another guy kicking a guy that's down.
There are going to be some suspensions here, big time, right?
I'm 100% sure someone will be suspended. Yeah,
man,
The one who hit number 95 hit the other player with a helmet, and that player was not wearing a helmet because it had just been ripped off.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't think he was injured though.
Okay, all right. If you see the footage, it's nuts though. I mean, it really is. I don't know if I've ever seen anything like that on a football field.
I don't think I have either.
Wow.
Not on an NFL field. No, high school game. Yeah.
not in the NFL, but elsewhere, yeah.
Or, you know, my backyard on Thanksgiving Day.
Or the XFL. In fact, the XFL.
There you go.
That's where they used to.
Oh, man.
am I nuts, or did they say that the XFL was making a comeback?
Yeah, I think they are.
Yeah, it's still supposed to be happening. Still supposed to be happening.
That's weird. What, doesn't it play during the offseason of the NFL? Is that what it was?
It was Saturday nights. It was when when XFL first happened.
Yeah. No Chicago team, though, right? This year, Tom? Is that what you heard?
But they had a Chicago team.
No, they did, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to at least.
I can't remember the name
of
the team.
So this is, I believe, the current roster of teams.
They've got the names.
The Dallas Renegades.
Uh huh.
Houston Roughnecks. Los Angeles Wildcats. The Seattle Dragons. The DC Defenders. The New York Guardians. The St. Louis Battlehawks. And the Tampa Bay Vipers.
So no Chicago team.
New Jersey?
New Jersey.
Did you see that one?
New York Guardians.
Oh, wait. Why am I seeing the New Jersey and New York Hitmen?
Oh, jeez.
That's what I'm seeing.
Is that from the... Maybe that's the old?
Oh, that's the old one. There you go. Yeah.
What was the Chicago team back in the XFL?
Rush? No, it wasn't Rush. Chicago... Oh, what was it? Let me look.
Yeah.
Chicago...
It was the XFL team from Chicago.
The Chicago Enforcers.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy, did that thing fail. That was one of the few. That's one of the few things that Vince McMahon lost money on. Because the guy's a billionaire, and that was the first real disaster that he ever had. So, oh, by the way, our guest was not able to join us this morning to talk about epilepsy. But you go to epilepsy.com for more information, and it's Epilepsy Awareness Month. So look into that, and if you need to donate. So to the fund. So we're sorry that we won't be able to talk to him. Yeah, crazy football stuff. Did you watch the XFL? You were a kid, right?
Yeah, I tried the arena football thing for a while.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, that's right.
When I was a Boy Scout, they would give us free tickets. Like every year, you'd be a Boy Scout outing. Everybody goes to the Chicago Rush.
Yeah.
And that was owned by Mike Ditka, right? Or at least operated in... He was involved?
He was involved in some way, yeah.
It was weird. I thought it was kind of cool, like shorter field.
Mm-hmm.
You could run on walls and stuff, but...
Scores were like 80 to 40 or 120 to... It's like every play was a touchdown, almost.
Yeah, it was nuts.
Yeah. That's fun, though.
I went to a game once, too. It was fun, yeah. What isn't it like a 50-yard field, too, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I think
it's
half the size.
So you can, pretty much throw the ball all the way to the end zone,
from end zone to end zone. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but it was a bunch of scrappy dudes too. They would just like jump over. They'd try to do flips,
and they're really good athletes because a lot of them, weren't selected or that maybe they didn't go on to play college, but they were really good athletes. So you've got some fast movers out there. No sidelines. There were just walls hockey.
There was no sidelines. That's right.
Combat football.
Yeah, tackles were pretty cool though. If you got a guy up against the wall, you could flip him over and stuff like that.
Yeah,
that was
kinda
cool.
It was.
Oh, man.
They had a nice show with the cheerleaders in the halftime. They'd get on stage and do a show.
You know what's really was really fun to go to? Is Wolves minor league hockey.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's more affordable. A lot of the players either were in the NHL at one point or going to be. It's a lot of fun, and they do a lot of family-friendly stuff. And Skates is the mascot. And he actually is on skates, and he skates out on the, but it's, I always recommend that to people if you can't, because, going to a Hawks game is pretty expensive. I mean, Hawks are my favorite team, obviously, and I love to go to the UC and see games, but you're dropping a lot of money, especially if you got a family. So the Wolves, it's out at the Allstate Arena. The Wolves are a fun team to watch, mm-hmm. and it's good hockey, and it's really affordable, and it very, very family friendly. They have like weird things in between whistles where they would like balloons float around with coupons dropping mm-hmm. for pierogies and stuff. And it's just a good time. I've gone to many Wolves games, and I always recommend that to people as kind of an alternative if you don't have enough money to go see an NHL game.
That's how I got into hockey. Was going to Wolves games all the time.
Yeah, fun, really good stuff. And again, whole family. So anyway. All right. Well, thanks for that insight about the football there. That's crazy stuff.
Yeah, I had just seen the video as well.
Have you seen the video, Tom?
Yeah, I was just watching it here. That's like when I played football, that's the kind of kid stuff that people will get up to, trying to really hurt one another.
Yeah.
Because you just had no concept of what you were doing. You were just angry. Because, I mean,
Well, these guys are professionals. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
You know, that's not, that shouldn't be allowed.
Yeah, get a handle on it.
They think it's the NHL or something.
That is one thing. I know Vic has mentioned it before. He doesn't understand
no,
why.
No, I never said that.
Yes, you did. You totally, I don't understand why the NHL is the only sport that allows fighting.
I did say that, but I don't want the hate mail. So, but I didn't grow up in a place where there was an NHL hockey team, so I didn't watch hockey till I moved to Chicago, and I just didn't understand. I still don't get it, because I think you have to have grown up watching it to really get it. So I don't complain about it.
There's much less physical stuff going on in hockey than there used to be.
Yeah, you kind of gave me the rundown once. Yeah,
You know, the fighting is now, there's not a ton of fighting. There used to be a lot more fights.
Taves went after someone the other day
which is very unusual.
Yeah.
Because the captain is the captain, man.
Right.
And he must have really been mad.
His coach said that they got a nice boost from that, actually.
That's another thing. There's another, Vic, that's the exact reason why it happens, is to fire the team up.
Yep.
You got a guy like Andrew Shaw will go out and, you know, like if they haven't scored a goal and they're playing, you know, there's no spark or anything, Shaw will go out and knock some guy on his ass.
Yeah, and he's not a huge guy.
No, but he's scrappy as hell.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he'll get into a fight, he'll get thrown in the penalty box, the crowd will get into it, everybody will start going nuts, and that fires up the team.
You know what? I was at a Hawks game once, and a fight broke out, and I immediately, you know, did the same thing.
Oh,
you know?
No, yeah. Got people fired stand up, they start banging on the glass.
Right, right. Right.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a hockey player hit another one with either a helmet or a stick in a fight?
No, they're pretty. As soon as you drop the gloves,
yeah.
And then it's usually
so it's
you,
a fair
you,
fight,
you try then. To wrap. You try to wrap your hand around the jersey, hold on to them.
Pull that thing over their head.
Hold on to the jersey so you can get a couple of pops in.
Yeah.
And then the refs will stand there and watch until once they hit the ground. That's when they break them up.
Yeah,
or if it gets really crazy. Now, I was at a game one time. This is really ridiculous. It was against the, I want to say it was the North Stars. It was against the North Stars when Dino Cicerelli was on that team. He's a goon, a total goon. So I was at the game, and we got there really early. And my friends were like, why are we? Because this was at the old barn. This was at the old stadium. So my friends, you know, were mad because we got there really early. I wanted to get there really early. And we got there, and it was like, you know, the practice skate was about to start, and my friends were like, why are we here so early, man? We were like an hour early for the game. And so this is absolutely true, and this is legendary. People can, if I'm sure people listening know about this or have. So the North Stars, major rival with the Blackhawks at that time. So they're out for the practice skate, and they just start beating the hell out of each other. It's like right out of Slapshot. It was right out of Slapshot. Everybody was fighting. There were no refs on the ice.
And how many people were there to see it? Just you and your friends?
There were just a few thousand people.
Wow.
And my friends were like, oh man, I'm glad we got here early. And I'm like, yeah, sure, now. And but they, I mean, it went on for a long time. I don't know if anybody, you know, I mean, I don't know how long this happened. It was a long time ago. This was like in the 80s, I want to say. But yeah, and this fight went on, and there were no officials on the ice.
Wow!
So nobody was out there to stop it, and they were and the crowd was going berserk. And this was at the stadium when everybody went nuts.
People in arm bars on the ice.
And yeah,
what year was this?
I want to say it was in the '80s.
Would you say 89?
Maybe.
All right. I think I may have found a little bit of news footage.
Okay.
Of them reporting on it. So this is Blackhawks and North Stars brawling prior to the game, 1989.
Yeah, I was.
Well, he and Chira were having words, and Van Dorp came into it. But I'll tell you, Chira certainly made his presence felt as he and Van Dorp got into it, and Van Dorp left the ice, and he was just bleeding quite profusely. We don't know exactly the nature of the injury, but that's not where it ended, because all of these players on the ice right now grabbing onto each other as this continued. This went on for about 12 minutes, I believe it was, as we tried to clock it here in the warm-up.
Look at Van Dorp. He's the one without the shirt. Mike Gartner has his arm around him now. That is Wayne Van Dorp. the blood pulsing out of him, and the other shirtless guy is Shane Churlin.
Holy.
That's wild.
By the way, well done, sir.
It was unbelievable.
Wow.
It was unbelievable. It was just so crazy.
That must have been insane.
It was nuts.
12 minutes is a long time to fight.
Yeah, and they were beating the crap out of each other. It was nuts. Yeah, and I was there. All right, let's take a break here on WGN. We've been talking about violence in sports now. I don't know how we got onto that topic. Well, because of the football thing that happened last night. So, all right, let's take a quick break here on 720 WGN. Drinking Buddy. I love that song. It's Chips Enough, Enough's Enough. If you were listening earlier, I told the story about how I drank with Chips Enough one night in a hotel bar.
Once in a lifetime.
How weird is it? You see what he looks like, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what he still looks like, that only much older. He's got crazy colored hair, wears wacky sunglasses all the time.
Yeah, the neon bandana.
Oh, yeah. No, he looks exactly like that now, only older, and he shouldn't look like that.
And is he still rocking the lipstick?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, you have to understand, when you see that walk into a bar, it's not very, you go, oh.
That must be Chips Enough.
Yeah, it's got to be Chips Enough. Yeah, my girlfriend was so mad at me. Hey, I wake up. I was just downstairs drinking with Chips Enough. She's like, shut up and go to sleep.
It's not a good thing to wake up your partner with.
No, especially since we were arguing.
Well, that's
I left the room because I was mad, and I was like, I'm going to go downstairs and get drunk. And so I went down to the bar, and there was Chips Enough.
Yeah. Usually for me, that ends in, hey, Cotter's here. We're going to watch the thing again. Do you want to watch it with us? It's 4 o'clock in the morning.
I can't tell you the number of times I've watched The Thing drunk when I was a drinker.
It's horrible.
That's why I went nuts when I was watching Hateful Eight, and the part of the score came on that's not in the movie, but it's only on the menu board of the DVD. I was like, oh my God, because I can't tell you the number of times I've fallen asleep to that. I've fallen asleep on the couch with the menu board on, listening to that part of the score over and over and over and over again.
Just a Pavlovian response at this point.
And I was when I was watching Hateful Eight and it happened, I was like, oh!
Did you feel a little drunk?
I was like, wait, oh my God!
What a flashback.
I was only, at that time, I was only about 4 months sober at that time.
No, man, yeah. That's got to be the ghost of Christmas past right there.
Oh, man. So, anyway. You want to watch the thing?
Yeah. Do you want to watch it with us? Yeah. I ordered a pizza.
I didn't get a pizza. We're going to watch the thing for the 5,000th time. You know what was another one of my go-tos? This is going to sound very, very weird.
Hit me. What you got?
And Justice for All. The Al Pacino movie. I would get drunk and I'd go, I'm going to watch it just for all. I love that movie.
That is a good movie.
I love that movie. I'm not sure why that was a go-to. Like, Al Pacino screaming, you're out of order. That's a good Christine Lottie's first movie.
That's true.
Lovely Christine Lottie. When I get home, I will watch Christine Lottie because she's in Evil.
Yeah.
She's great on that show. I understand last night's episode was really scary, too.
I'm looking forward to it. That's what I'm going to do before I go see my brother for breakfast. Yeah. I'm going to watch a little catch up on Evil.
I'm going to watch it as soon as I get home. That show's terrific. Terrific. And without question, the best show on broadcast TV.
Mm-hmm.
Without question.
Mm-hmm.
Really creepy, really scary. Cast is great. It's a lot of fun, too. So I think we have to break here again.
Yeah.
In a couple seconds. Yeah. All right. I do have this article about the worst menu item at every chain restaurant that I would like to get to. We can do a little bit of that after the news. But yeah. Oh, by the way, speaking of the Hawks, I was just scrolling through the Facebook world. And of course, I follow the Chicago Blackhawks and they post a bunch of stuff on Facebook. They're in conjunction with the North Shore University Health System, as we always know. They're a big sponsor with the Blackhawks. It just says getting a flu shot is easy. Just ask Tommy Hawk. And it's video of Tommy Hawk
getting a flu shot.
Getting a flu shot. Going to the doctor, waiting in the waiting room for a couple of minutes, and then getting the flu shot and leaving and high fiving and kissing the doctor.
I need to get a flu shot. I haven't got one in years.
Tommy Hawk getting a flu shot.
Well, if Tommy Hawk can get one,
Tommy
I
Hawk,
can too.
Best mascot in the business. I love Tommy Hawk. He's my favorite. So get your flu shot and be healthy like Tommy Hawk.
That way you can fight.
I've got a great picture of me and Tommy Hawk. I have several pictures of me and Tommy Hawk. But he does this thing where he takes his beak and puts your head in it, so it looks like he's eating. So I have a picture of me with Tommy Hawk with his beak around my head. So, all right. We'll break here. We've got the news coming up. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, here till 5 a.m. Hey, coming up after 4 o'clock, it's our regular features. You Big Dummy, that's where I read news stories of real dumb people doing real dumb stuff, and we vote on the biggest dummy. Tom votes, I vote, and then we take the first caller, and that's our third vote for the dummy. And we've got Straight Out of Context, that's when you listen to this radio station 24/7. Whenever somebody says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds kind of dirty and it makes you giggle, you jot down the day, the time, who said it, send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. And Nick D Show Spies, that's when you listen 24/7. Whenever anybody at any time mentions me, then we want to know about it. And you jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. And, of course, Fly Jams Friday is coming up. Get your R&B requests and your funky requests in. 312-981-7200. We'll play them after 4. All right. So this is from topics.com. The worst menu item at every chain restaurant. And I was looking through this, and I don't agree with a lot of these. I have to say, I don't agree with a lot of these. It says, chain restaurants are some of the most frequented eateries in America. It's too bad, then, that most of them are unforgivably terrible. Not all menu items are at these blasted holes are created equal, though. Some are truly worse than others, and here are the worst menu items at America's favorite chain restaurants. Outback Steakhouse. They go for the Bloomin' Onion.
Wait, that's like the thing, though.
Yeah, it's great.
I mean, I'm not going to say that I'm a frequent visitor to the Outback, but I like the Bloomin' Onion. It's pretty good.
Every time I go to Outback Steakhouse, and I don't go a lot, but I always get the Bloomin' Onion. You gotta. Olive Garden. What do you think?
Everything.
Breadsticks.
I mean, they're not the greatest breadsticks in the world, but yeah. You get unlimited of them. You get it infinite.
Yeah. And soup. And salad.
Yeah. They give you a lot of stuff for just over and over.
Yeah. I don't mind the breadsticks at Olive Garden.
Pretty good.
Red Lobster. Here's what they say at Red Lobster. Anything that isn't Cheddar Bay biscuits.
Now, that's just false.
Absolutely false. But the Cheddar Bay biscuits are the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah. It's to the point where I go to the Jewels and I get the box.
Yeah.
You know, the boxed Cheddar Bay biscuits. So good.
They're unbelievable. They're unbelievable. But they really are just slamming Red Lobster.
I think that's unfair. I've had plenty of there's not every dish is the best.
Yeah.
But I would say overall pretty good.
Okay. Are you ready about this? You ready?
Hit me.
McDonald's. What do you think?
I think they're going to say the McRib.
That's what they said. Which is the greatest fast food sandwich of all time.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
I would say the Filet-O-Fish. I hate the Filet-O-Fish.
You know what I like about the Filet-O-Fish? I like that the bun is steamed.
Yes. I'm listening, but I heard that and I had to chime in. Yeah. That's the great thing about that.
Big fan of steamed buns.
I love the Filet-O-Fish.
So do I. I like the Filet-O-Fish.
And all that tartar sauce that they gob on there, I love it.
Yeah.
I don't know where that fish came from. I'm not even sure.
I haven't been there to a McDonald's in a long time, though, but I do love them.
I love the McRib. McRib is my favorite.
Unspecified rib meat.
I like it too. I think it's I know I don't like that they shape it in the form of a rib.
I don't like that. I love that.
That kind of grosses me out.
So I love the McRib. I do. And the Filet-O-Fish is a good sandwich.
Just something about it. You know, it's probably because they put cheese on it. I should get it without cheese. I think cheese and fish in a sandwich like that tastes weird. If it's just the filet and the tartar sauce.
Well, you can always get it without the cheese.
I know. It's just...
So
I don't think I've tried it with
I will tell you this, though. You know those the tartar sauce? I don't know if this is the case, but when I worked at McDonald's, which is obviously like 40 years ago, I worked at McDonald's. The tartar sauce was great because it came in like you would shoot it like out of a caulk gun. You would load the cardboard tube in, push the handle down, and then squeeze it like a caulk gun.
Now I'm guessing a young Nick DiGilio had a little fun with that.
Oh, are you kidding? You could get the Big Mac sauce was the same thing. The Mac sauce was in the same kind of caulk gun situation, and we would have battles. But I'll tell you something: you get more length with the tartar sauce on your shot than you do with the Big Mac.
Insider tip, pro tip there.
Just let everybody you know.
I think you know what I regret about McDonald's, a decision that when they got rid of the oval-shaped chicken sandwich.
Ah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I used to love those.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think McRib is still in season, isn't it?
Yeah, I believe we're still in McRib season. Yeah, I don't know.
The McRib was a regular menu item when I worked there.
That's wild to me.
It's almost a U.S. holiday now, I think.
Yeah.
The release of the McRib.
One of my favorite moments in any episode of The Osbournes was when they're in the back of the car and Kelly and Jack are in the back seat and Jack goes, "The McRib is back." And then Kelly just makes fun of him incessantly. I remember she's like, "The McRib is back." He was all excited because they're driving down the street and they pass a McDonald's. And Jack goes, "The McRib is back." By the way, do you watch The Masked Singer?
Yeah, but I'm behind. Oh. I haven't watched the most recent one.
Oh, okay.
I'm a little behind.
All right.
Oh, did I just get a hint here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. Well, there.
Huh. Okay, Burger King. You know what they pick at Burger King?
I'd probably say the Whopper Jr., because why not just get the full
their
Whopper?
Fries.
You don't like
We're
the fries?
Talking worst thing at a restaurant. I think they're fries compared to McDonald's.
Well, everybody loves McDonald's fries. That's kind of the gold standard by most people's, but you know what place I love the fries at?
I'm going to say Wendy's.
No.
No?
Wendy's, that's my dad's favorite.
Yeah, I'm with your dad.
No, White Castle.
Huh. Yeah,
White Castle has fantastic fries. They're crinkle fries.
Yeah.
They're great.
You know who's got good fries? Arby's. The curly fries.
Yeah, the curly fries. I like the potato pancake,
though. Yeah, the potato cakes.
Yeah.
Glorious.
But for Burger King, they pick chicken fries.
See, another yeah. Mm-mm. You shouldn't shape meat like other foods.
How about this? Applebee's. You ready for Applebee's? The quesadilla burger, they say, is terrible. Yeah. The quesadilla burger, it sounds particularly disgusting, and it is. So, the quesadilla burger at Applebee's. At Wendy's, what do you think they chose at Wendy's? Vic, what do you think at Wendy's?
Oh, worst food at Wendy's.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And I totally...
I haven't visited one in probably a decade.
I totally disagree with this, and I think most...
It better not be the baked potato.
No, it's not.
Okay.
Yeah, but I totally disagree with this, and I think most people would. They say the worst thing at Wendy's is the Frosty.
Oh.
I totally disagree with that. Frosties are great. They say the first sentence here in the description is, "Oh, good, ice cream slop."
I would call it slop compared to the Jamocha shake at Arby's.
Ah.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah. I like everything at Arby's. Arby's is good.
Yeah.
Taco Bell.
There is nothing bad at Taco Bell.
I would agree with you on that. But they pick the Cinnabon Bites. I've never had them. I'm glad that they didn't pick a regular, food item.
Yeah, and see that...
A dessert item instead.
And that's awesome, because it's really not even a Taco Bell thing. It's a Cinnabon thing.
Yeah, that's true. In-N-Out. Well, we don't have an In-N-Out burger here. But they say the French fries are terrible at In-N-Out. So, Primanti Brothers. Now, that's in Pittsburgh. Vic, have you ever been to Permanthi Brothers?
Mm-mm.
Have you ever heard of it?
No.
Oh, my God. You should look it up online.
Say it again.
Permanthi Brothers, P-R-I-M-A-N-T-I.
Oh, ooh, okay.
Permanthi Brothers, they're known for their sandwiches. They're big, crazy sandwiches where they also just like load it up with fries.
Ooh, the sandwich has fries in
yes.
it? Yeah, I love it when they do that.
Yeah, and this is just classic. I mean, it's classic. But they say every sandwich, they hate it, this article. Maybe they just don't want fries on their sandwich.
Some people are above it.
They put coleslaw.
I am not.
But yeah, they put, you know, you got your meat, you got your cheese, you got your coleslaw, and you got your French fries. It's so good.
Well, see, now some people like to separate their food. That would bother one of those type of people.
Oh, sure.
Big time.
Yeah, but I think it's great. Coleslaw, cheese, meat, fries, all on a fresh roll. You ever been to Permanthi Brothers in Pittsburgh?
No. Oh. I've driven through Pittsburgh, never stopped.
Oh, man. That's the first thing you should do. Whenever you visit Pittsburgh, first thing you should do is go to Permanthi Brothers. Immediately. I'm telling you. Chipotle.
It's the sofritas.
It is the sofritas.
That's the worst thing that they serve.
Yeah. The sofritas, that's what they said here at Chipotle. You know, Chipotle gets Chipotle is like a punchline a lot.
Yeah.
Like if you want to make a, you know, like an upset stomach or a diarrhea joke immediately, somebody goes with Chipotle, which I don't agree with.
Well, I remember South Park had an episode with Chipotle away right, to get right. the blood out of your
right.
underwear.
Exactly.
So gross. Well, to me, the punchline is always like, basic college girls love Chipotle, especially at Loyola, because there's one right down the street. It's like, oh, yeah, let's go to Chipotle.
Yeah.
I was like, come on. There's better food in Chicago than Chipotle.
Yeah.
Not knocking on Chipotle, but.
All right. Okay. More menu items that are bad at every chain. 312-981-7200 if you want to join us to get in on the conversation. What do you think are the worst menu items? Welcome back. I love that song.
So good.
Brian Ferry. Welcome back. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Skyline studio. It's Friday. That means all the regular Friday features will be starting with You Big Dummy after 4. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. We are talking about an article here where they pick the worst menu item at the worst menu item at chain restaurants. So we just got a few texts in. 301 area code says the McGriddle at McDonald's is McAwful. That's got the maple syrup in it, right?
Yeah, it's a little bit much.
Yeah, I've only tried it once.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many other breakfast items that rule at McDonald's. Well,
your sausage and egg McMuffin.
Yeah.
There it is.
That's it.
Don't stop.
224 area code said, did I hear you guys say Arby's has potato pancakes? Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And they're good. I know everybody loves curly fries, but I always opt for the potato pancakes when I go to Arby's. And the other thing is, there's always a stray or three or four curly fries that get stuck in there. So you get a couple of curly fries with your potato cakes.
Did you see that there was an Arby's, I want to say down south, that had to decide, they decided to tell that if kids won't behave, they can't come into the Arby's.
Are they misbehaving? Are kids misbehaving in the Arby's?
I guess so.
Is that the place to go to misbehave? Hey, let's go to the Arby's. I love that Arby's was used in baskets. I just love that Arby's cooperated with baskets and is featured prominently in a bunch of episodes.
Yeah. By the way, there was a Minnesota Arby's warned that kids who did not keep their food on their trays and their bottoms on the seat would be asked to leave. Only well-behaved children were welcome on a sign spotted by a mother of five.
Wow.
Minnesota.
Wow, Minnesota kids go nuts at Arby's.
I guess so.
Carrie says, did the people that wrote this list also write Avatar? Oh, drunk monkeys. Because they're picking some items that are actually really good. How about this one? P.F. Chang's. They said the entire menu.
No, come on. Have you had those lettuce? They do like a lettuce wrap thing?
No.
There? Oh, they're pretty good.
Panera Bread.
St. Louis Bread Co.
Yeah, Panera Bread. The bacon tomato grilled cheese. It's also overpriced.
It is overpriced.
I think a lot of stuff at Panera is overpriced.
Very much so.
The Cheesecake Factory. Now, the Cheesecake Factory has a 75-page menu.
I'm terrified by the Cheesecake Factory. I find it confusing and overwhelming.
It's a ridiculous menu. It's absurd. I don't know how the wait staff deals with it. You know what I mean? I don't know how.
Well, I've heard from when I was still working in the service industry, food service, that they have like something like 15 to 20 line cooks. Like they've just got an immense amount of line cooks.
I'm not surprised by that.
And all they do, they make one type of item. They stay on, like, they have each line cook does a certain part of the menu, and that's all they cook all day.
Well, they chose as the Cheesecake Factory's worst item is the macaroni and cheese burger. Sounds good to me. I'd like some macaroni and cheese on a burger. How about Pizza Hut? The ultimate cheesy crust pizza.
What is that?
It's cheese in the crust.
Oh, that's... What did they talk? That's great.
Yeah.
That's super. You eat the pizza backwards.
It's the ultimate cheesy crust pizza, they say, is bad. Dairy Queen. What do you think they chose for Dairy Queen?
Their hot food, probably.
It says anything but blizzards.
Yeah. Well, they always seem to be pushing, like, yeah, you can get a burger at Dairy Queen. I was like, why would anyone get a burger at Dairy Queen?
They mostly advertise, when they do television advertise, it's mostly for the food. It's for the food combos. They never, because they don't need to advertise for people to buy blizzards.
No, everybody already loves blizzards.
Yeah.
And I love that they have to turn them upside down right in front of you.
I was working at McDonald's. There's a McDonald's, it's still there, at Irving and Major in Chicago. Right next door is a Dairy Queen, right next door, and it's still like that. There's a Dairy Queen right there, and I remember when the Blizzard was invented, because there was a time when Dairy Queen did not have the Blizzard.
We call those the Dark Ages.
And the Blizzard was invented, and it went through the roof, and there weren't the variety of flavors that there are now for the Blizzard. All right, Subway. See, for me, it would be everything.
Don't like the Subway.
No. But they...
More of a Quiznos guy?
Yeah, you know, I used to like Quiznos.
It's not bad.
Used to be one in my neighborhood in Andersonville. But of if I'm going to get a sandwich like that, I go to Potbelly's, man.
You prefer the hot sandwich.
Oh, yeah. And Quiznos used to toast their sandwiches, too. And they had the rat monkeys on their commercial, which was my favorite.
They got a salad bar!
Marketing genius.
No, a pepper bar?
They got a pepper bar.
People hated those Sponge Monkey rat things. Hated them. I loved them. But anyway, they chose tuna for Subway, which I can totally understand.
Yeah, I'd be wary around any sort of fish product uncooked like that, you know?
KFC.
The famous bowl.
They can't do... That's the greatest thing of all time. The famous bowl. I call it the flavor bowl. I remember when that was invented. There used to be a KFC right down the street from where I lived in Andersonville. And I went in there, and I looked, and I saw it on the menu board, and I was like, "What is that?" And it's like everything just all thrown in one bowl.
Have you ever heard Patton Oswalt's bit?
Absolutely.
If I could put it into a caulking gun and inject it into my femoral artery, I would.
It's great. I mean, his bit is great. I totally disagree with him because I think it's fantastic. They should have chose the double down. Don't you think they should have chose
the double down? Yeah, I got physically ill after eating a double down. It was just so much grease. It was so bad.
There's no bread. They use fried chicken breast or fried chicken patty. Yeah.
It's low on carb, though.
Bacon, cheese, and a special sauce?
Yeah, it's basically Thousand Island dressing.
Papa John's.
Everything.
Yeah, I would say everything.
I hate Papa John's.
Yep, I can't stand that place. Denny's.
I don't know. What's bad at Denny's?
The Grand Slamwich.
Oh. Yeah, I could see that.
I like Moons Over Miami. All right, we got time for one more here. Let's see. All right, Checkers.
I haven't been to a Checkers in probably 15 years.
The Deep Sea Double.
All
right, let's break. We got the news coming up after the news. The regular features start with you, Big Dummy.
Here's Dummy. You Big Dummy. You Big Dummy. See what you did?
Oh, no, you Big Dummy.
You Dummy.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Skyline studio here on a Friday morning here till 5. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. And your Friday morning drive is at 6 a.m. with the great Steve Cochran and gang. 312-981-7200 for talk and text and your fly jam requests. That's coming up. Right now, our Friday features begin with...
You Big Dummy.
This is when we read real news stories of real people doing real dumb stuff, and then we vote on who's the biggest dummy. Tom votes, I vote, and then first person through at 591. Wow, did I go back in time?
Woof.
Whoa. 312-981-7200. Oh, man. Okay.
Dummy number one, dummy number one, dummy number one.
The NYPD says officers arrested a woman for a bogus 911 call that was placed last Friday. They are now investigating as to whether she is behind more than 24,000 of these types of calls since the summer. Oh, my God. The caller allegedly stated to the 911 operator that there was a fire and smoke coming from the basement, which subsequently caused multiple police and fire units to respond at the time of the call. In the end, officers arrested 38-year-old Yogita Persaud of the Bronx shortly after 2 p.m. Friday while investigating what turned out to be a false 911 call. According to police, Persaud was charged with making a false report, fire, making a false report, emergency, obstructing governmental administration, and aggravated harassment. Police say officers are investigating a pattern that involves more than 24,200 911 calls from June of 2019 and 200 calls on the day of her arrest. My God. She has not been charged with these incidents since it is under investigation whether she is responsible for those calls, police say. However, police say that she could be the person who tied up emergency lines for months. The NYPD compiles a list of 911 bogus callers, according to police. Persaud ranks at the top if she is responsible for the thousands of prank calls. Police remind the public that responding to a prank call takes resources away from responding to a real tragedy.
La-dee-dee, they la-dee-dum is dummy. Just Donna and me, and the dummy makes three.
Dummy number two, dummy number two, dummy number two.
Florida.
Everybody's favorite superhero.
A Florida man pulled over Sunday night for driving recklessly told police that he, quote, needed to get home in a hurry because he was cheating on his wife. According to an arrest affidavit. Cops report that John Earl Picard, 52, was behind the wheel of his 2015 Honda that was going in excess of 90 miles per hour in a 55 mile per hour zone on U.S. Route 19. When stopped by the Tarpon Springs Police Department officer around 7:30 p.m., Picard was apparently en route to his Palm Harbor residence following an extramarital extramarital affair. Picard reportedly, quote, indicated his driving was reckless and endangering because he needed to get home in a hurry because he was cheating on his wife. Picard was busted for reckless driving, a misdemeanor. But when cops searched him post-arrest, they found a baggie of crack cocaine in his shirt pocket. Oh, my God. Leading to an additional felony drug possession count. Picard said police reported spontaneously that he had just purchased it for $50.
Have you ever seen him act?
I've been watching him act all his life. Like a dummy. I mean, I didn't know you were interested in gardening.
Why not?
Well, up to now, the only thing you've grown is dumber and dumber.
Dummy number three. Dummy number three. Got that.
Three. An arrest warrant was issued late Thursday for State Rep. Pancho Nureves. From D-Eagle Pass after he was caught on surveillance footage in early September dropping a white envelope with cocaine inside. The warrant, signed by a Travis County magistrate, states that Pancho faces a charge of possession of substance in penalty group 1, which is a third-degree felony punishable by up to 10 years in prison. Bond amount was set at $10,000. Jail records show he's not in custody. According to an affidavit for a search warrant collected for his DNA, it was filed in late October. An officer from the Texas Department of Public Safety was called for help by the DPS Texas Highway Patrol regarding a substance that was found by a Texas Department of Transportation employee. It states that on September 6th, four small clear plastic baggies containing a white powder-like substance were found inside a sealed envelope outside of the entrance of the TXDOT Flight Services in Austin. The envelope had the letterhead from the office of the State of Texas House of Representatives member Pancho Nevarez. The affidavit says surveillance footage shows Nevarez leaving the TXDOT Flight Services and dropping a white paper object, as he was getting to the front passenger seat of his chief of staff black SUV. The contents of the envelope tested positive for the presence of cocaine, weighing more than 1 gram but less than 4 grams. Though, through training and experience, I have learned that individuals involved in the possession of narcotics would like to remain discreet and typically conceal the narcotics as best they can. Therefore, it is reasonable to believe that Representative Nevarez, using his own letterhead envelope, licked and sealed the envelope that contained the cocaine in order to keep it concealed.
The only reason I call you a dummy is because I call them as I see them. My only child is a dummy.
Dummy number four. Dummy number four. Dummy four.
Think your job is a real pain? It's nothing compared to the careers of professional animal handler Rob Caveman Oliva and wildlife biologist Adam Thorne. The two are starring in a new History Channel series called Kings of Pain. It's like I got something to add to my DVR. Their goal is to create history's ultimate pain index by traveling the world to get bit and stung by some of the most dangerous animals. The 8-episode series, which debuts on Tuesday, does that mean this Tuesday? We can find out. Features the duo getting stung or bit by, among others, the Nile monitor lizard, the fire urchin, the giant Asian centipede, and the reticulated python. Avila allows himself to get stung by the executioner wasp, a species of insect native to Central and South America, with a legendary sting. He said there's little hard information about it, but the few people that did report getting stung by it say it's excruciating. In a clip that they showed, Thorne holds the wasp next to Oliva's skin so that the bug can do its work. The executioner, by the way, the executioner wasp is very good at its job. Ow, it's that sharp, instant pain. Look at it, it's already welting. It's already welting up, Oliva said about the pain. Comes in waves, it's actually getting worse. He described the feeling as a throbbing type pain. The executioner wasp is a firecracker, Oliva said. And its sting is like the first time you eat tacos in Mexico. It burns.
Yeah, I'm worthless, penniless, broke, busted, and
a dummy. And I can't wait to see you starring in your first movie.
Yeah.
Deep Dummy.
Do we know when it debuts?
Yeah, so it debuted this past Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
So season one is underway.
All right. I'm so going to watch that on demand. No question about it. All right, let's break here for some weather, and we'll come back. We got one more dummy to read, then the recap, and then we vote. 312-981-7200 on your Friday morning. Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Live in the Skyline studio here in downtown Chicago here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5. Steve Cochran has your morning drive at 6, as we do every weekday morning. We have our Friday features all ready to go again, and we're doing You Big Dummy. One more dummy left, and then we will recap and vote. Dummy number 5, dummy number 5, dummy number 5. A saucy teacher has been suspended after projecting a sexually explicit email he was sending to his lover onto his class whiteboard. The rude message was mistakenly beamed onto a smart board during a sociology A-level lesson at Vision West Nottinghamshire College in Mansfield. The unnamed tutor was suspended a short time later. Principal and executive chief executive Andrew Cropley said, "I can confirm the incident took place in an A-level sociology class whereby a private email from a tutor containing explicit content intended for another adult believed to be his partner was inadvertently displayed on a smart board seen by his students. The college acted swiftly by immediately suspending the tutor pending outcome of an investigation. Clearly, this was wholly inappropriate conduct that fell significantly below the high professional standards expected of all of our staff." "I have written to the students and their parents and guardians to offer my sincerest and unreserved apologies. However, although deeply regrettable, it is important to stress that this is an isolated incident that in no way reflects the behavior, conduct, or care exercised by our teaching staff day in and day out."
I'm not Kenyan. You're a big dummy. You bigger dummy than my dummy.
All right. It's time for the recap and time for the vote. So let's see. We've got the dummy who may have made or been responsible for making over 24,000 bogus 911 calls. We got the dummy driver who told the cop that he was rushing home after cheating on his cheating on his wife. We got the dummy state rep who dropped cocaine at the airport. We have the dummy who purposely got stung, gets stung by the executioner wasp, and I'm going to watch every frame of it. And the dummy teacher who projected a sexy letter on the classroom whiteboard. All right, Tom, where are you thinking that you're going to... By the way, vote, call in now to be first person through. You can be our third vote. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Go ahead.
Runner-up goes to the guy with the executioner wasp, honestly. Because, I mean, at least he's doing it for money.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a TV show, but that sounds like the dumbest TV show.
Kings of Pain.
I can't even imagine subjecting myself to that. But I'm going to give it to the guy who told the cops he was rushing home because he was cheating on his wife, and then they found crack in his pocket.
Exactly. Exactly. Again, phone lines are open. First person through right now, 312-981-7200. You will cast our third vote. 312-981-7200. Get in now and cast the vote. The woman who might be responsible for 24,000 bogus 911 calls is not just dumb, but that's dangerous and really, really stupid.
Psychotic.
Yeah. Really bad. I too love the guy driving home like a maniac just because he was cheating on his wife and then has crack in his pocket. A state rep dropping cocaine with his letterhead.
That's a doozy. That's a doozy.
I mean, that's really stupid. The guy who gets stung by the executioner wasp purposely. That's dumb, but it's going to make great TV as far as I'm concerned. Phone lines are open. You want to get in here? 312-981-7200. We need a third vote, so call up right now. 312-981-7200. And the teacher who projected the sexy email onto his classroom whiteboard, that's just stupid. But, yeah, I think I got to go with, man, that state rep, though, with his own letterhead. I mean, that's just...
That's advanced dumb.
Yeah. But I'm going to go with the driver. I'm going to go with the driver who told the cops that he was rushing home after cheating on his wife. So there you go. No one has called in for the third vote, but it's unanimous anyway.
Yeah.
So don't worry about calling in. 312-981-7200. Now, of course, somebody calls in. Now, of course, the phones light up now. So, all right, let's take the vote anyway, even though we got two votes already for the dummy in the car telling the cops that he was cheating on his wife. But let's see. Is this Noel? Hi, Noel.
Noel.
All right, go ahead, vote.
The driver with the that was cheating on his wife.
Okay. Yep. Okay.
Cocaine
in his pocket. All right, thanks, Noel. Take care.
All right.
There you go.
Not just cocaine. Crack cocaine.
Crack cocaine. The cheap kind. And then he said he spent $50 on it. He told the cops he spent $50 on it.
I bet it's like carpet fresh or something.
That's ridiculous. All right. All right, let's get into this. So when I'm in your neighborhood, you better duck. Because Ice Cube is crazy as F-bomb. As I leave, believe I'm stomping. But when I come back, boy, I'm coming straight out of context.
What's up?
Tell them where you're from.
Straight out of context.
All right, it's that time of the week again. Every Friday morning, we have our regular features, including Straight Out of Context. This is when you listen to this radio station 24/7, and you should, because it's the best. And whenever anybody says something that you can pull out of context and it makes you giggle and sounds a little dirty, jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. All right, shall we begin?
Shall we? All right, let's get into it. First one here. You know, he keeps doing this, betrayed again by a fellow Tom and Bartlett. Here we go, I guess. It was just in and out like that.
What were we talking about?
We were talking about a game show that didn't last very long.
Didn't you play a theme from it or something?
No, we were talking about a game show that Jimmy Kimmel was like,
right.
And I can't even remember what it was because it was so short-lived.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That was funny.
Next one coming to us from Jesse. Here's Steve Bertrand.
That was the bet, whether you jump on us or not.
What was going on there?
So I guess they made a bet that they would, poor Jazz, she's got walking pneumonia.
Oh, no.
Or at least she had walking pneumonia.
Oh.
But she's coming to work like a trooper,
uh-huh.
You know? So, but they kept calling it walking ammonia to see if Wendy would jump on him about it.
Ah, okay.
And they got away with it.
All right,
next one. First time this has ever happened. This is from G in D.C. Here's the Lutheran Hour.
Oh, no.
That's such an incredible climax.
I don't even know what to say.
Incredible climax.
I don't know what to say. All right.
All right. Next up, coming to us from Brian J., it's the voice himself, Rick Pearson.
I've been messing with it all morning.
Leave it alone, Rick. Leave it alone. Okay.
All right. One of my favorite Sunday morning hosts and yours, Dean Richards, here. Caught by Margaret in Bridgeport.
What else happens besides eating testicles?
Is he talking about Thanksgiving?
He's talking about the Turkey Testicle Festival,
which is before the night before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, yeah. And they had them at Tree Time. They were eating turkey testicles.
I've had them.
Not bad.
That tastes like liver.
Yeah, that's exactly what Dean said.
Yeah,
that's exactly what Dean said.
It tastes like liver. And I used to cover the Turkey Testicle Festival because inevitably, before I got the full time gig, I was always the guy that worked the night before Thanksgiving.
Oh yeah,
and on Thanksgiving night,
you got to have them on.
So
yeah,
okay.
All right, next one. Carl Amari here from the WGN Radio Theater, also caught by Margaret.
Carl. We have a brand new spanking.
What? Oh, spanking. He was addition.
Yeah, he was talking about their new. Like, they have a new website.
Okay.
Brand
okay.
Spanking new, oh, but okay. He didn't know where that belongs in
he
the
put
sentence.
Spanking new. It's
yeah, spanking yeah, new. Not new
not,
spanking.
Not new, not new spanking, Carl.
He's into the spanking, I guess.
Okay. All right. Let's do one more before we break.
All right. Well, good, because it's you.
Oh.
It's Nick D, caught here by Kevin in Iowa.
Don't be put off by the length. I was talking about the Irishman.
Yeah. Although, don't be afraid of the length.
No, because it's great.
Yeah.
It's great. All right. Well, let's break here. We got a break. We got the news. Then we'll come back and we've got more Straight Out of Context. We've got Nick D Show Spies. And then everything is going to get fly right here on a Friday morning. So when I'm in your neighborhood, you better duck. Because Ice Cube is crazy as F-bomb. As I leave, believe I'm stomping. But when I come back, boy, I'm coming straight out of context. Context.
What's up? Tell them where you're from.
Straight out of context.
Yeah, that's right. Straight out of context. Another one of our Friday features that we have a lot of fun with. This is when you listen to this radio station 24/7. Keep your ears peeled. And whenever anybody says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds a little dirty, jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. Okay, where are we going next?
Next, we're going to Rokon, caught by Fox Valley Mike.
I kept my hose on my spigot.
Oh man, everybody is 9 years old. Okay,
all right. Next up, it's the queen of Straight Out of Context, Miss Wendy Snyder, uh-huh. And she was caught by Jesse.
I always wondered what John Legend would taste like.
Oh my God.
That is because of the new Cooper's Hawk John Legend wine.
Ah, okay.
Yeah,
you know, he was just named Sexiest Man Alive by People Magazine. Did you know that?
I did know that. I don't know if I agree.
Pretty sexy.
But is he sexier than Idris Elba?
Well, no.
Stringer Bell?
Nobody's sexier than Stringer Bell. And John Legend has a song. It's one of the sexiest songs I've ever heard. Best I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
Best you've ever had. It was in a terrible movie, but it's a fly. Maybe we can play. That'll be my request later.
All right.
Best I've ever had. Best you've ever had. Best you've ever had by John Legend.
Is it sexier than Do You Think I'm Sexy?
It is unbelievably sexy.
All right.
So is the video. He's shirtless the whole video. Okay.
All right. Next up, it's the wonderful G on the Steve Cochran show, here by Fox Valley Mike.
You can tell there's like a hand in there.
She's talking about how she's afraid of Kermit the Frog.
What?
Well, they renamed a street in New York after Sesame Street.
Sure.
Because of the 50th
anniversary. Yeah.
And G said that she's afraid of some of the Muppets, some of the Sesame
That's
Street Muppets.
That's really hilarious.
Because she knows, you could tell that there's a hand in there.
That's really weird. Okay.
All right. I'm so happy that she's just walking into the newsroom here. Here's Mary Vandeveld.
Uh-oh.
We couldn't get off.
She's getting set up in there.
She's getting set up. That's too bad. She's caught by Chris there.
Okay.
Caught by Chris. And then let's go over to Bill Leff. This one, just Bill Leff, caught here by Deanna.
It's in your southern region.
He's referring to, I guess there's coconut yoo-hoo.
What?
You can get coconut Yoo-Hoo.
No.
Is that
no.
not working for you?
No.
All right.
Leave you. Yoo-Hoo okay. is perfect alone.
Well, they got to have some brand diversity, okay?
No. Just regular Yoo-Hoo. I prefer it in the bottle, not the can.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
All right, next, we got Maria caught Wendy Snyder here.
And you break it open, and then there's a Q-tip, and you dip down in there.
I don't even know if I want to know.
It's some sort of, like, nasal treatment for colds.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I know exactly what she's talking about. Yeah. Okay.
And then finally, to cap it all off, it's little Steve Bertrand here caught by Tim.
It lasts longer because it doesn't taste as good.
Talking about coffee-flavored candies.
Mm. Like, as if they were good or not?
Well, they don't like the taste. Apparently, Bill Left does not like coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things, if he got coffee-flavored candies, you still eat them, though, because it's still candy. Still candy.
Even if you don't like the flavor.
Even if you don't like the flavor. Like,
oh, okay.
Wendy doesn't like the flavor of black coffee.
Mm-hmm.
But she'd still eat the coffee-flavored candies because they're still candy.
So you just candy in general? So like those Harry Potter jelly beans that taste like vomit? Those?
Yeah. It's still candy.
Yeah. What are those things called?
Oh, Birdie Bot's Every Flavor Beans?
That's it. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll do this all again next week for sure. Let's get back into it because we've got this.
Spies.
Hey.
Someone took your plans away. So what's all of us? There ain't nobody. Spies.
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 Like us.
That's right. It's Nick D. Show Spies. Again, listen to this radio station 24/7. Whenever anybody mentions me in any capacity, we want to know about it. You become a spy. You jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. All right.
All right. So first one here is Lisa Wolf, and she was heard by Margaret in Bridgeport.
All right, Lisa. I'll tell you all about it.
All right. You skipped one.
Ready? I'll tell you.
You forgot the third one. All right.
Okay.
Nick DiGilio would kill you for that.
All right.
I mean, it's not complete without the third one.
All right.
All right.
And then this next one here, this is John Hansen talking about it. This is ridiculous.
So someone nominated a box for the toy.
It's in the Toy Hall of Fame.
So I would assume then that all the rest of the toys that have ever been created are already in.
Not
and
all
they're
of
just,
them.
No, they're just like, well, what else we got?
Pogo carrying stick's
it.
Not
that kid's
in.
Got a stick. Wait, you're telling me a stick is in there?
A stick.
But not a pogo stick.
Right.
That takes construction and springs
right.
and rubber and jumping.
Right.
But a stick is in
oh,
there.
Oh, but a stick can now, be so many things.
But you know, some kind of... we
it
have
can
supplied
be a laser.
Nick DiGilio with all the content he needs next Friday morning.
So, for the next...
That's it. 30 years.
30 years of content.
You know, what's going on with that music?
Well, it's something that John does when he fills in for Matt Bubala.
That's, he just plays music underneath it?
Well, he'll do. They do a little segment called "What Did I Learn Today?"
Uh huh.
And they'll play a little bit of music underneath, a little bit of bed music.
Oh, okay.
And just to give credit there, that was caught by Carrie.
Okay.
So they're the two spies this week.
Okay. and by the way, the stick has been in the Toy Hall of Fame for many, many years.
It's just I can't believe it.
And the box is in there in the Toy Hall of Fame.
I can't wait for Log to finally get its much-deserved entry.
Yeah, well, Log, Ren and Stimpy, one of the greatest toys that you could buy.
It rolls downstairs.
Yeah. It's the Log.
And
I laughed I laughed every single time they would do that bit.
That and Happy Happy Joy Joy.
Yeah, come on, man. It's one of the greatest things ever. My favorite part of the Happy Happy Joy Joy. Because he puts that the happy helmet on Ren. and then activates it so that Ren feels nothing but happiness. But my favorite part, Tom, is the shot of is the shot of Ren walking down the steps shaking with his bathrobe on. Because he's been they turned on the happy helmet like 8,000 times and now he can barely walk. So he's got his bathrobe on and his legs are shaking as he's trying to go down the stairs.
Our good old pal Stinky Whistleteats.
Oh my god. The best. That show, I just, you know, it's funny, somebody put, you know, as people are wont to do on the internets, they compile very long videos of things. Somebody compiled the grossest moments, put all the grossest moments from Ren and Stimpy into one place. And it's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. You know how Chris Volusi would, like, if something like the episode where Ren has the tooth that has to be pulled, and they cut to it, and there's like a vein sticking out of his mouth, and you know how he had those stills that they would cut to, the really mm-hmm. gross ones that were just hand drawn.
Yeah,
that particular one. I loved that idea that he would cut to the stills, and they were the most disgusting thing. I miss Ren and Stimpy. Oh, it was the best. Just the best. And my favorite episode, without question, is Sven Hoek. Ah, you whizzed on the electric fence, huh? it's my favorite.
Is that the one with the walrus?
No, that's rubber nipple salesman.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any walrus protectors? No, or walrus, what is it, rubber nipples? Rubber nipple protectors, yeah. Do you have any walrus protectors? Call the police when the walrus... Call the police! The single funniest cartoon ever, and I'm including any cartoon I've ever seen in my life, is Sven Hoek. It's the funniest thing. I'm telling you, every time I watch it, I fall off the couch laughing. It's so brilliant. All right. Do you want to play the theme real quick?
When I grew up on the farm, fly was something we sprayed to kill, and jam was something we put on our breakfast toast.
Jam. Fly jam. Fly Jam's Friday.
Oh, yeah. This is Fly Jam Friday on your overnight radio. With my man, Nick D, on 720 WGN.
That's right, man. It's Fly Jams Friday. So get your requests in. Should we say hello to Luscious Hushes and then break for the weather?
Oh, yeah, Luscious Hushes, baby.
There he is, ready to spin. 312-981-7200. And we've got a bunch of requests already, correct? Tons. Good. Okay. Hey, the Harlem Globetrotters are still around. They set world records. I didn't even know that they were still a thing. That's cool. You ever see the Harlem Globetrotters?
I did, yeah.
They're great.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Loved them on Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. Yeah. And weren't they also on Gilligan's Island?
Oh, man. I would not know.
All right. All right, let's get the forecast going here, and then we'll come back and we'll get some fly jams going. Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, here till 5 a.m. And the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Who requested the Donna Summer?
It's coming to us from Steve.
All right, Steve. Fly Jams Friday.
Queen of the dance floor.
Yeah. She was huge, man. Huge. You ever see the movie Thank God It's Friday?
Yeah.
Terrible movie.
No.
Soundtrack's good.
Amazing. That's how I got into all this kind of stuff.
Was thanks because of Thank God It's Friday?
Yeah.
Jeff Goldblum's in it.
That he is.
That's a terrible movie.
It could be better.
Music's great. So, All right, we're getting fly here.
I'm going to get very fly.
All right.
All right, next up, coming to us from Dave and Monroe, it's Ebony and Ivory.
Ebony and Ivory live together in perfect harmony, side by side on my piano keyboard.
Hate that song.
I saw it on your face.
I hate it. I hate that song. But you know, we do not deny the fly requests.
Never.
So there you go. All right. I'm a little distracted because Dean just gave Charlie's Angels a B.
Wow. That's surprising.
It's very surprising. I'm just going to see it because I love Kristen Stewart.
Sure, sure. Who doesn't?
Yeah. I never thought I would love her. Back when the Twilight movies were around, but I can't get enough of her now. I loved her on SNL. I think she
did a good job.
I think she's great. And Robert Pattinson. What are we talking about here? The Lighthouse. One of the best performances I've seen all year. Ford versus Ferrari. A.
You know, that seemed like a movie that Dean would really enjoy.
Yeah. Oh, The Good Liar comes out, too.
Yeah, I was kind of unsure about that.
Come on, man. Look at the two people that are in it.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Helen Mirren, Ian McKellen, and you're wondering about it?
I don't know. It didn't seem that interesting
to
me.
It's Helen Mirren and Ian McKellen. Gandalf is in it, man.
I understand. Don't you talk to me about Gandalf.
Hey.
Talk to me about Gandalf. Come on.
All right. Marriage Story. He's reviewing that now. Let's hear a song.
All right. Next up, Nasty by Janet Jackson.
That's right. I love the talent. Nasty. The nasty boys. I don't mean anything. Oh, you nasty boys. Nasty. The nasty boys. I don't ever change. Oh, you nasty boys.
Yeah. Love that album. Great album.
It's quality stuff.
By the way, you gave Marriage Story an A, too. Good weekend.
Boom.
Good weekend.
It's a AAA weekend.
Man.
You don't get those a lot.
No.
You don't get those
a lot.
All right,
Dino. Thanks a lot, buddy. Okay.
All right. Coming up next from Dino.
Oh.
Dino, listener Dino. It's Wilson Pickett with Engine Number 9.
Oh, great song.
Been so long since I heard. Been so long since I kissed her. Been the thing of knowing that. Move on, move on, naturally.
I don't think this is the first time we've ever played this song.
Really?
Which is amazing to me. Which is unbelievable to me because that's as fly as it gets.
It's an awesome cut.
Yeah.
A very choice cut from Dino. USDA beef.
Man, oh man. That's a fly jam.
Absolutely.
Okay, what's next?
All right, next up, going to have some Temptations, of course. We've played this one before, but it's always a classic. It's Ball of Confusion.
Oh, please. Yeah. An 80s band covered this song.
I don't like the sound of that. I don't know about that.
I can't remember who it was, but they cut.
Was it Love and Rockets?
Love and Rockets,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yep. All right, more fly jams.
All right, this one's coming to us from Nick DiGilio the Elder.
Oh, my dad.
the very fine gentleman who works at the Jewels. It's Jimmy Soul, If You Want to Be Happy for the Rest of Your Life. If you want to be happy for the rest of your life, let me take a friend you want me to write. So for my personal point of view, make a happy girl to marry you. If you want to be happy for the rest of your life, never make a friend you want for your wife. So for my personal point of view, get an ugly girl to marry you. A pretty woman makes a husband look small, and very often causes his downfall. As soon as he marries her, then she starts to do the things that will break.
I was just looking up in the traffic department, and Mary seems to enjoy that song. You were bopping along.
That is the best song. Is that from your dad?
No, my dad requested
that.
Oh,
tell him I just love that song.
He's listening. You can tell him right now.
Hi, Dad. Love it. Thank
bopping
you.
Bopping around. She was dancing around in the traffic
department.
It woke
me up. I'm like, so tired today.
That's what it's
Thank
all about.
You.
Great. All right. Well, we'll close out on that. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be back on Monday with all the regular features.